Blog Talk Radio.
This is a control grid to track and trace and make us second-class citizens. They're going to decide what sites you visit, and they're only going to allow a couple thousand sites. 99% of the web will be off-limits.
Co-host Janice and Bobby, and we're happy you're here. Our call-in number is 347-324-3704, and I'll open our chat room now. Wow, folks, what a busy news day. There's so much going on. The unions, of course, are still acting up, and they're losing support rapidly. Our man on the street, who happens to be a woman, Bobby, was at the Arkansas rally, and she will have a report on the sights and goings-on there. She also invited a guest from another rally, so we're going to have a special drive-by guest today. The Dems that skipped the state in Wisconsin haven't turned up yet, but the Indiana Dems have now skipped town, too. They must be buying more time for the community agitators to get there. The Somali pirates who had hostages, the four Americans, have now killed those hostages. Navy did kill three and captured three, so we want to talk about that for a bit. There was a massive earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand. Those poor people are in need of some help. Their world literally crumbled down on them. Please don't give any relief funds to Clinton, Waters, or any of the other politicians to hold on to, by the way. Send it directly to the people or the Salvation Army. You'll have a better chance of getting them to receive it that way. In agent testing, airport security, they got a gun past security every single time. I bet you won't hear that on MSM. Obama wants to spend $44 billion on Soros and Chopra scan machines. He wants 275 machines at a price of $44 billion. So that makes them around $167 million each. He should really buy regular x-ray machines. They're a heck of a lot cheaper, and you can get a whole lot more of them for $44 billion. Iran ships did pass through the Suez Canal today. Mostly uneventful, but huge implications there. And then there's the revolutions in the world. Libya is lit up. Gaddafi has fired on his people. There are fires, violence, and chaos there. Hillary had strong words. Just words, though. Obama had no comment at all. He couldn't shut up about Egypt, but there's a huge difference. Egypt was an orchestrated theater. Libya and Iran want real freedom. These and many other stories are coming up, but before we start the show, please allow me to introduce my great co-hosts, Janice and Bobby. These women are top-notch journalists. They are fabulous analysts. They're my friends, and they have a lot to share. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Janice and Bobby. Welcome, ladies.
Hey there.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey. Hey, how you doing today?
I'm all right.
Glad to hear from you. Tell us about the rally a little. Well, tell us a little bit about it, and then tell us who your guest is going to be when we get to the subject.
Oh, well, I went to the episode, if you can call it that, up in Little Rock today. Embarrassing, embarrassing. Do they not know it's a right-to-work state? Hello? And then, you know, I have Frank coming on. Frank is our eyes on the ground in Iowa, and he was kind enough to have sent me immediate information when he got back from his opportunity to attend the state rally there in Des Moines, Iowa. And so he'll be calling in around 5:30, and we'll talk to him about how his event went.
That's 5:30 your time, 25 minutes more in our time, right? 25 minutes
yeah,
from now?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, 5:30 Central time for us. So, yeah, you're at 6. I keep forgetting you guys are an hour different from me, but that's all good.
That just means we're an hour older.
Okay, speak to yourself over there.
Hey, does that mean if we keep running around the Earth, we can go back in time? Nah, guess not. Jules Verne tried that.
I'm the oldest one in the room.
Oh, man. Don't go bragging on yourself now like that.
Yeah, but it's only by a matter of minutes, so.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, we'll measure it in minutes. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys hear about the Somali pirates?
Yes, I'm
You know what? He has an issue with everything in delay over there for some reason. Let's not hurt those little Somali guys, you know? He delayed with the SEALs the first month in office, and he's still sitting on his hands every time. Don't tell me that couldn't have been prevented.
No. I don't know what happened there, but I'm going to read you a little story here. This is posted by Jim Hoft at Gateway Pundit. The American yacht that was hijacked by pirates last week was less than 2 days from the Somali coast. Owners Gene and Scott Adam and two other people on board, Phyllis McKay and Bob Riggle, had been traveling with yachts participating in the Blue Water Rally since their departure from Phuket, Thailand. It's spelled Phuket. Okay, you almost got me there. Phuket, Thailand. The hijackers killed the Americans today, CBS reported. The four Americans aboard a yacht hijacked by pirates off the coast of Somalia are dead. Hijacked last Friday off Oman, the Quest was being piloted towards the Somali coast and was being shadowed by a U.S. Navy warship. CBS News national security correspondent David Marlin reports the gunshots aboard the yacht were heard and the warship took action. All four Americans were dead, killed apparently by their captors. The L.A. Times had more on the mass murder. The bodies of the four Americans on board the carrier Enterprise off the Horn of Africa, according to Central Command. The names of the Southern California couple, of course, are Scott and Gene Adam, boaters who were based out of Orange County. Four U.S. Navy ships had been shadowing the Quest after it was taken over by the pirates, Mattis said. While negotiations were underway to gain the release of the Americans, U.S. forces responded to gunfire aboard the Quest. Four Americans had been shot, Mattis said. Two of the pirates were killed by U.S. forces and 13 captured. After boarding the Quest, military personnel found the bodies of the two pirates. The incident occurred about 1 a.m. Eastern time. So I just wanted to tell you that came to a terrible, terrible, horrible end. You guys want to talk anything about that? Denise, do you know anything about that? About any of the details on how that went down?
You know, I guess the bigger thing is when we have people, especially American citizens, what is their communications back to some information on what the threats are with those pirates? You know, I will say that they have been at sea time and time again since 2004.
Yeah.
So surely they... I would think they would have known about the risks of those pirates. On the other hand, you know, those events don't happen every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be happenstance that they, you know, missed that. But I would think that whoever kept shipping the Bibles to them would also say, we don't know where you are, but you best be careful. We've got, you know, all these incidents with Somali pirates. So, I guess I kind of question why they were in those waters to start with. Something's not working for me there. So,
like,
you know,
to
I don't
know why the two families hooked up and where they hooked up at.
Yeah, something, you know, I had another friend years and years and years ago who did, in fact, sail around the world, and he sailed safely around the world. And then at one point he ended up near Belize in South America, and he was tied up, had been there, you know, 2 or 3 days, and tied up at a dock on a sailboat, very large one. One of his crew, because he always had people four on and four off, one of his crew awakened them and said, you know, we're being boarded by pirates. And so the guy that owned the boat came out and shot them both. Well, you know, the guy that owned the boat ended up in jail. That was the last I heard. I don't know what happened with the case. But, you know, the pirates are not just Somali pirates. They're all over the world and have been for years. I guess what I'm concerned about are the rules of engagement on the high seas and in other countries and in international waters are really, are they, do they, will the engagement have enough teeth in them to deal with these pirates?
I don't know, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the rules are, you know. I mean, they said, that story said that they heard gunshots, and when they got there, they were already dead. But, you know, it doesn't go on and say how the pirates got dead, and, you know, there wasn't really a lot of information there. I did hear earlier that one of the pirates had lit off a rocket-propelled grenade.
Yeah, and they shot that at the naval ship.
Yeah, they shot it at the ship, so they must have been trying to escape. But, yeah, that went terribly, terribly wrong. So, yeah, we got to...
You know,
I'd
something's
like
wrong with communicating to people that are out there, you know, sailing and boating and wherever they are in the world. I mean, the pirates are clearly have been a threat for decades. And, you know, they obviously don't follow the Geneva Convention, although I can't find anybody really anymore, any country that really does follow the Geneva Convention. So, we must be the
only
one.
Yeah, just us.
I guess.
Oh, gosh.
Seems like the only ones that are following rules are rules radicals, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no. That's the rules for radicals. Yeah, that's the only rules they do follow. There was a terrible, terrible earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Remember we released that information on the show yesterday.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, I've been watching all the news reports. I was watching the live feed, and it was absolutely horrible. They said that the death toll may top 200, but right now they have 75 confirmed dead. There was one story. This woman had been hit by falling debris, and she had, you know, like, covered up her baby. She ended up dying. The baby's okay, though. They saved the baby, but the woman was dead when they got there, so... You know, it was pretty cool, you know, the way she died. She died with dignity right there, saving that baby. But, yeah, they need a lot of help over there. I mean, everything just... when you see the pictures, you just can't imagine the devastation there.
Well,
so
Israel stepped up their game. They sent a lot of aid and people there to help
out. Yeah, good, because they had run out of ambulances. They were using private vehicles to transport the wounded on the film that I was watching. And it just, those poor people, you know, I hope that they can get a lot of help. It's just a small place, but it's the whole place is just totaled. Hey, did you hear about the TSA scan fail? You guys want to hear about that? Yeah? TSA source, armed agent slips past DFW body scanner. This is
that was a couple days ago.
Grant Stickfields. I read this earlier this morning. Says an undercover TSA agent was able to get through security at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport with a handgun during testing of the enhanced image body scanning, according to a high-ranking inside source at the Transportation Security Administration. The source said the undercover agent carried a pistol in her undergarments when she put the body scanner to the test. The officer successfully made it through the airport body scanner every time she tried, the source said. In this case, where they had a test, and it was just a dismal failure, as I'm told, said Larry Wansley, former head of security at American Airlines. As I've heard it, you got a problem, especially with firearms. Wansley said a covert testing by TSA is commonplace, although failing should be rare. The TSA insider who blew the whistle on the test also said that none of the TSA agents who failed to spot the gun on the scanning image were disciplined. The source said the agents continue to work the body scanners today. Wansley said that is a problem. This was only a test, but it's critically important that you do something, because if that person failed in the real environment, then you have a problem, he said. The TSA did not identify that the test took place or when, or what the results were. The agency would only provide the following statement. Our security officers are one of the most heavily tested federal workforces in the nation. We regularly test our officers in a variety of ways to ensure the effectiveness of our technology, security measures, and the overall layered system. For security reasons, we do not publicize or comment on the results of covert tests. However, advanced imaging technology is an effective tool to detect both metallic and non-metallic items hidden on passengers. TSA agents who spoke to a reporter agreed that the body imaging scanners are effective, but only if the officer monitoring them are paying attention. That is so baloney. Soros and Chopra on those machines. What does a regular X-ray machine cost? Anybody out there know what a regular X-ray machine? Anybody, doctors out there or technicians? Because I'm figuring, even if they're like $35,000 each, these machines, they want a $44 billion piece of legislation to buy 275 machines. That comes out to $167 million each. Plus, what do they need 275 scanners for?
Have we still yet seen the test results of what effects it happens to the body when it passes through? Because if it's not reading the gun metals, then it's got to be reading something else. And what's it doing to the human body? They still have yet to release test results.
They wouldn't even teach. They wouldn't even let the test results released to the people who are operating the machines. Now, they sit there all day getting exposed to radiation. And if you're in line, you get not only your radiation, but you get the people in front of you who are getting x-rayed, however many people that is. I don't know what the proximity is, but you can see that they're in open scan. So there has to be some radiation, you know, spewing from the outside of it. It doesn't just go straight up and down. It expands. So,
you know, even when you get your teeth done at the dentist office, they put the whole big vest thing down the front of you. You know, it tends to make you go, what's going on here?
Yeah, but an X-ray machine with a heck of a lot more power costs a heck of a lot less. So use those.
Yeah.
You know, and if they can't pick up a gun, why are we spending $167 million each on them if they can't detect a gun?
Absolutely.
You know, maybe they're not calibrated. Maybe nobody gave them the instructions on how to calibrate the machine.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you fail a test, right, shouldn't you at least be told? So these people are doing the same thing as they were doing before they failed the test. You know, it tells you that they weren't disciplined, they weren't told, they weren't even, you know, nothing. They're still at work. So they probably don't even know that they missed a gun.
Well, you know, since they haven't been tried, tested,
every time,
and results initiated, so is everybody a guinea pig? And then if there's a problem afterwards, we'll fix it later? Or, you know, makes you wonder. I mean, didn't they stop doing hair shampoo on animals because they didn't want any issues happening? So now we're guinea pigs on all the hair products and stuff, and deodorants and perfumes, colognes. What's to say they didn't classify that in there with one of those other things, saying, oh, well, that's just a test. We'll let everybody know the results in a few years, you know?
Wow. Hey, ABC in the chat room just put a link in there. It says CIA spy Davis was given nuclear bomb material to Al-Qaeda, says report. I don't know about that.
I don't either. What report?
I don't either.
I don't know. I'll read it, but I don't know. I'm not sure. It's in the chat room. It says, London, February 20th, double murder accused U.S. official Raymond Davis has been found in possession of top-secret CIA documents, which point to him or the feared American Task Force 373 operating in the region, providing al-Qaeda terrorists with nuclear fission material and biological agents. Now, this is from Russia's Foreign Intelligence Agency, warning that the situation on the subcontinent has turned grave. It appears open warfare is about to break. I think this is a source of file.
Sounds like.
Yeah. It's right here. It says Yahoo News.
I don't know. This sounds
like Sasha. Yeah, I'm going to have to take this with a grain of salt. I'm not going to finish reading it because I have no way to check this right yet. But what I will do is I will hold on to it, and I will make sure that as soon as we're off the air that we'll look into it. But ABC, thank you very much for this, and I will check into it. But, you know, I want to make absolutely sure before I read something like this over the air.
Oh, by the way, we might have a second guest call in at 5:30, so we might have to do the commercial just a few minutes late.
That's all right. We can do them a couple minutes early, too. Hey, a Tulsa cop was transferred for not going to a mosque. Did you guys hear about that?
No, what?
Tulsa police captain transferred for refusing to order officers' attendance at a mosque event. A church and synagogue event's mandatory for police officers in Tulsa now as well. TPD captain investigated for refusing to order officers' attendance at mosque event. This is by Gerald Wade for the Tulsa World. Tulsa police captain who allegedly refused to require his subordinates to attend a law enforcement appreciation day at the Tulsa Mosque has been assigned to a different division as the department investigates the matter, an email obtained by the Tulsa World states. In an email sent by Tulsa Fraternal Order of Police Board of Directors, Chairman Clay Ballinger to FOP members Monday, Ballinger said Tulsa Police Captain Paul Fields was temporarily transferred to the Mingo Valley Division on Monday afternoon. The email states that internal affairs officers are investigating Fields' refusal to attend and or order officers to attend the Law Enforcement Appreciation Day at the Mosque of the Islamic Society of Tulsa. It states that Fields' refusal was based on the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, departmental policy, and past practices of the Tulsa Police Department. Tulsa Police Chief Chuck Jordan confirmed that Fields was transferred Monday pending an internal affairs investigation. Citing confidentiality of personal matters, Jordan said he could not comment further. According to the invitation from the Islamic Society of Tulsa, which was attached to the email, the event is scheduled for March 4th at the Tulsa Mosque.
Wait a minute. How did he get transferred before he did not really attend it? He could have said it and changed his mind later. So
no, he would not order his officers to go to this mosque for Appreciation Day.
But he could have changed his mind. It's not March 4th yet.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah, so anybody who's got, wants to talk about this, I would suggest you call Tulsa. The Order of Police is sticking up for him, but the city chairman is not. The city chairman wants him transferred.
What's the city chairman's last name?
Let's see here.
Does it have it in there? Just interesting. I'm looking to.
No, they got the police chairman though. I'm sure you could talk to him. His name is Clay Ballinger, and that's the police board of directors chairman, Clay Ballinger. I would talk to him and see what he has to say about that. But the guy doesn't want to have to order his officers to go to any mosque. I'm sure he's not doesn't want to order them to go to any synagogue or church either. So
sounds like a whole hood kind of thing to me. Major.
Yeah.
Hood. Let them pass. It's too politically correct. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. So the guy doesn't want to go, and then they're gonna bug out on him because he doesn't want to go, and they're gonna transfer him and everything, and he doesn't want to send his officers. Look, you want to go, you go. You don't want to go, stay home. You know, you can't order them to go. You can't order somebody to go to a church. You know, could you order a Muslim to walk into a Catholic church?
And that's a Friday. Why Friday? March 4th is on a Friday. Is that overtime? Was that?
I don't know, but is it before or after prayer? Do they have to pray too?
Exactly.
I don't know about that.
Interesting.
Yeah, really. All right, we have 36 minutes. You want to take our break early?
We'll do that.
It's at the 36-minute mark for the first hour. So, all right, we'll take the first break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about this union stuff, and by then your guests will be on. So we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource. TomorrowsHarvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high quality, cost effective, and long term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepare with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're free.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses? when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else. Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
Hey, Freedomizers. Have you started your food storage yet? Are you dehydrating your own organic fruits and vegetables? Proof Negative here is going to tell you to check out dehydrate2store.com, where Tammy is going to show you how to dehydrate your own fruits and vegetables so that you can have the best food storage possible. Why waste money on inferior products when you could do it yourself? Easy. Check out dehydrate2store.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
And we're back live. You're listening to Liberty Underground, the Moretti Report. I am your host, Joanne Moretti, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-hosts, Denise and Bobby. And I believe Bobby's guest is on the line. I want to talk about these unions. And as a matter of fact, the unions are calling for a general strike. I don't know how that's going to go, but we're going to talk to our guests first because I'm a little radical today and I'm on a tear, so I don't want to scare our guests. So we'll bring them on now. Bobby, you ready to do this interview?
Yes, I am. Frank,
okay.
Is that you?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Hey, Frank, it's Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
This is Joanne,
and we have Denise on the line, too. Welcome to our show.
Hi there. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you for calling in. Okay, Bobby, go ahead. It's all yours.
Okay. Hey, Frank, I know you sent out the email. Of course, I built an article on that, and I'm going to put it in the chat room so everybody can see it right now. But I want you to kind of relay to me what you saw in your state capitol, where it is, and what went on there this morning. A little bit of detail for us. How's that?
Well, they had the unions had their rally starting at 1 o'clock. The 9-12 group was there at about noon and stayed until shortly after 1 o'clock. Just because, as I said in my article, somebody has to go to work to support these people's pensions, so our people did the responsible thing and did that. We had people being bused in from all over, coming in on charter buses, as opposed to just union people in Des Moines, which gave it the appearance of being a huge, huge rally, which indeed it would not have been without that. My biggest problem with the whole thing, Bobby, was as people can see on the when they look at the pictures, there's a school bus from West Des Moines School District that was used to bus teachers in. And my question to everybody is, why should we, the taxpayer, be paying for teachers to use the school buses to go on a private jaunt?
Good question.
Did you see any kids around at all today? Was there any kids there, Frank?
There were a few, not that many, to be very honest. it wasn't like they loaded the bus up with kids and brought them. I'd say maybe 10, 20 kids was all I saw in the whole group.
So the buses were not, the school buses were not used to transport school children in any way, shape, or fashion in Iowa today.
I cannot say that for a fact, Bobby, because I did not see them unloading there at the time. The bus itself was empty, but it was parked right where all of the charter buses also were parked.
Now, was that a solidarity rally, or was it specifically for Iowa? Is Iowa having similar budgetary cuts?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. In Massachusetts, they're not even cutting the budget, and they had a solidarity today. How many people would you assume were there, approximately?
Oh, I would say upwards towards 1,000 people.
But a lot of those were bussed in, though, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I posted pictures, and each picture that shows a tour bus was a different bus that arrived as I was there. And also, as you can see by the picture that I took of their crowd, I took that early on when I got there, and when I was leaving, I was trying to dodge a Des Moines school bus and didn't have the presence of mind to take a picture there. But if you look down that picture, the steps that lead down to the street, that was completely full from there all the way to the Capitol building with union protesters.
Did they have shirts or pre-printed signs? You know, did they have, like, screen-printed shirts? Or were they just all wearing their own clothing? What I'm asking is did they, give out, like, T-shirts that say this union or that union? Or
no. Firefighters did show up and wore their firefighter jackets. By that, I mean their leather jackets with their patches on them.
Yeah.
Like AFL-CIO was there. They had a 12-foot sign that people were out by those steps that I just talked about, holding this sign out. There were a lot of pre-printed SEIU signs there, which kind of surprised me for Des Moines, but there they were.
Why would that surprise you for Des Moines?
Well, I don't consider Des Moines to be an actual SEIU stronghold. However, I guess this today kind of shows that I was wrong in my perception.
Yeah, there isn't a city out there that's really exempt.
Yeah.
That's a shame. I'm so glad you called, Frank, because this is really exciting to have somebody else in a state that we don't often get to cover ourselves on a regular day in and day out basis. And anytime you're at an event that you see something like this and you're like one of us, you want to make sure that people see all these weird things that are going on out there and how events are staged. We want you to come back and always tell us what's going on, because it's just amazing.
Yes.
how this thing is being spun.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, to have these pre-printed signs and the SEIU there, and you all know that this is AstroTurf. I remember Nancy Pelosi complaining about AstroTurf, but this is really AstroTurf. You know, they didn't just happen to have 1,000 pre-printed signs, or 2,000 or 20,000, however many they have spread out. They didn't just happen to fall on a box of T-shirts that happened to say AFL-CIO or SEIU or ANSWER or whatever else group. The Huffington Post said that they had been working on it for weeks. The SEIU and the Working Families Party and a bunch of the other unions have put out their schedule, put out maps of how they're going to spread this. And now they're calling for a general strike. Now, I don't know how well that would go down, but if you pull a general strike in Wisconsin, I mean, can you imagine trying to woo a business there? Why would anybody want to open a business in a forced union state, especially looking at the way the unions could shut down the state? I wouldn't spend a nickel in that state to start a business.
Hey Frank.
Yes.
When you all were there, you know, the 912ers who were witnessing what was going on, how many 912ers were there in Iowa today at the State House with you?
I would say probably 200. As I said earlier, you know, somebody had to work to support these people that were being paid to come in. And
that's true.
That's, you know, now that is strictly conjecture on my part, but when you have people that are that many at a time, suspicions rise. By the time I left approximately 1:30. By the time I left, our side of the street had dwindled down to, I'm going to say, 50 people, just because people had to go back to work.
Absolutely. Was there? Did you notice any difficulties in the crowd? Was there anything that struck you as odd or unusual that was going on there today?
When you're talking about unions, no.
Yeah. Oh.
I guess, Bobby, my biggest issue again is two school districts, both Des Moines School District and West Des Moines School District, had the audacity to use their school buses to transport protesters for the union. You know, my tax dollars go for education, not for
Yeah, those buses are for the kids.
Trips.
Those buses are
That's
for
right.
the kids. Hey, you guys want to hear a little bit of breaking news?
Yeah.
On the same subject?
Oh, sure.
Paychecks to be withheld from absent Wisconsin senators. 14 Democratic senators fled to Illinois, stalling vote on budget repair. This is from the Associated
Yay.
Press. State senators who miss two or more session days will no longer get paid through direct deposit. They will have to pick up their checks in person on the Senate floor during a session. The new rule is aimed at forcing the return of 14 state Senate Democrats who have been hiding in Illinois since Thursday. They fled the state to stall a vote on an anti-union bill and have threatened to stay away until Republican Governor Scott Walker agrees to compromise. Tuesday's vote was along party lines. The three Republicans on the committee on the Senate organization voted for it, and the other two Democrats opposed it. The measure applies to paychecks, per diem checks, and any expense reimbursements. The absent senators will have to collect their checks from the Senate Majority Leader. So, you want your check? You got to come pick it up.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's see how it goes. Everybody's going to flip out, man, all about that. And besides, they're not missing. They were spotted in a Mazda. We got the license plate number. They were in Illinois, but they had to move again. I don't know about the other ones, the Indiana ones. I don't think they found them yet. But it says here, breaking, Wisconsin flea bag is spotted in Illinois. They're in a Mazda. They gave the license plate. They got an APB out on them. They got a bolo. They're on milk cartons.
The Tea Party's been chasing them for a week.
Yeah, I'm looking at, it says, Illinois Tea Party finds Wisconsin flea party. It says, is this Chris Lassen? Update, we're receiving reports the police were called out against the Illinois Tea Party members who found the Wisconsin Democrats at a local hotel from a Tea Party member on the ground in Illinois, subject outcome of the confrontation with fleeing Dems. Latest developments, Illinois Tea Party board member Doc got the Heritage Suites at Harvard and found the fleeing senators in the lobby of the motel. He said that they were laughing like school children. News cameras were there. Doc confronted the senators, saying, do you know any reason why you shouldn't be recalled for your failure to fulfill the duties of your office? And the like. They asked him who he was. When he identified himself as a member of Northern Illinois Tea Party, the mood changed. The hotel clerk asked him if he was a paying guest. He said if he wasn't, he would have to leave. Doc asked if this was still America. The clerk called the police. Three cars pulled up. Doc went outside and said, I guess I'm the guy you're looking for. They said they had to go into the lobby to pick up a complaint against him. Doc was interviewed by a reporter outside the hotel. The reporter asked for his name, and Doc said, "It's Doc. If they're going to try to arrest me, that's all you need." Then he drove away. Mary Alger, coordinator of McHenry County Tea Party, was outside the lobby with her sign, "We're the Tea Party, they're the Flea Party." She was interviewed, too. So they busted him here. I'll put this link in the chat room, too, because there's a nice picture here. If I can find the chat room now, I got 100 windows open. Oh, my goodness. This is cool. So, I think we're going to have to talk about this, because they're calling for a general strike, and that's really pretty creepy. And last night, too, I was watching a couple of the interviews, and one of the women that was interviewed, she was in an undisclosed location. We should send Cheney there. He always goes to an undisclosed location. He'll know where they are. But this woman said, well, you know, the teachers, and then she said the fire, the nurses, and the prison guards, but they're not included in this. But she made sure that she mentioned the names of the fire, the cops, the prison guards, and the nurses. And they're exempt from this Wisconsin legislation. Those folks, those are emergency responders, they are exempt. But when she put it in there, she kind of skimmed it over and tried to make it sound like those people were included, too. She was rabble-rousing. It says here, in an attempt to follow their European counterparts, public sector unions in Wisconsin are endorsing a call for a general strike if Governor Scott Walker's plan passes and is signed into law. As the Wisconsin legislature reconvened this morning, a key federation of nearly 100 labor unions in the state is calling for a general strike for about 45,000 people if Governor Scott Walker's budget repair bill is signed into law. The South Central Federation of Labor is calling for a general strike if the bill becomes law. Sources told BizTimes that other labor unions that would be affected by Walker's bill are also pondering going out on strike if the proposal is approved. While Wisconsin has been deemed to be ground zero by the unions, if union bosses' bullying tactics succeed in shutting down the state of Wisconsin, they will be emboldened to shut down other states as well. And then there's a quote here from Thomas Paine. "I bring reason to your ears, and in language as plain as ABC, hold up truths to your eyes, Thomas Paine." And also, Ronald Reagan said, don't be afraid to see what you see. Okay? Really, see what you see. Now, these, I want to call them flea baggers, but I don't know. These Democrats that fled, I mean, how long can they stay gone? How long can this go on? You know, are they waiting for more reinforcements from the unions, or what are they waiting for?
It was rumored they were actually going to go back today. Obviously, that didn't happen. But, you know, at some point, the governor is going to have to say, you know, we're going to have to invoke some pink slips here because you've abandoned your job.
Yeah, if they abandon their job. Bobby found the paperwork. It was Section 4, Article 14 of the Wisconsin State Constitution stated that the governor can call for a special election if a seat in either house becomes vacant. And if they have intentionally walked off their job, they're not union. You know, they are elected representatives. They're not union. And if they walked off their job, I would assume that that means that they have abandoned their post. So, they're incommunicado. They're in an undisclosed location. What do you mean you're in an undisclosed location and you're my representative?
You know, the other thing, too, is there are some conditions to abandoning a job. It's a no call, no show, no email, no communication, no anything. So you've got a governor here that doesn't know, you know, I imagine that none of them have communicated with anybody. I don't know that to be true, but it kind of takes it up a level. If that's the case, that there is no email, there is no phone call, you know, there's nobody to their staff, there's no text message, there's no nothing, and a no-show, that's clearly abandonment. You know, these people, you know, do they have some kind of a calendar that they were working on, too? That, you know, do they cancel meetings or, You know, is there another scheduled vote? I mean, you know, you don't know what's really going on here. But as long as is they've chosen to remain out of a state, and you know, Indiana, same thing is going on there. They left and they fled to Kentucky.
Well, may I ask a question here?
Yes,
you
sir.
Certainly may.
Whatever happened to dereliction of duty?
Exactly.
Failure to uphold your position as a representative of the people.
Mm-hmm. No, they took an oath.
It seems to me that these senators that fled have all but committed sedition in doing this.
Good work.
Well, you know, they clearly took an oath when they went into their respective job titles, into their senatorial positions. They clearly took an oath to the state. And, you know, they've breached that oath as far as I can see.
Well, that is my thought also.
Now, it sounds to me like that they have breached their oath, that they have violated, that they are derelict in their duty. And if they are operating solely for one small segment of the population, then they are not representing all the people of Wisconsin, just the unions. And if they're your union representative, what are they doing as state senators? They should be union reps. They should be a union boss. They should be whatever it is that they're doing for the union. But, you know, that's got to be separate. The government is not union. Just some of the employees are. They want to be union, go join the union. Give up the job. You know, I'm absolutely aggravated with it, and I've been on a tear. This is insanity. This is, we're being organized against. They're community agitators. And only 1,100 of those teachers called out. If you got thousands of people there, where'd they come from? They didn't come from the schools because only 1,100 of them. Even if every one of the 1,100 was in front of that state house, where'd you get the rest of them? All right, you pulled them in. Pulled them in from Illinois, from wherever Trumka or Andy Stearns or Obama wanted to send them from, or Acorns or Rathke or anyone else. You know, this reeks of Acorn, even though they don't have the name Acorn. Look at all the organizations that are there, Working Parties Family. They come out and tell you they're communists. Answer. They'll come out and tell you they're communists. SEIU have a communist manifesto. They are so anti-American, and they own Obama. You know, remember them from punching out little old ladies and black guys at the town halls, right? Don't ever forget that. Yeah, biting off a little old man lost a finger. And it turned out that the little old guys were right. There really is death panels. They really are cutting back. They really are rationing care. They are telling you you're end of life. You know, those people were correct. And then all these unions that shoved that stuff down your throat, they got waivers. So, again, the little old ladies were right. And now they're organizing against taxpayers. Who's footing the bill down there? You know, I mean, come on, folks. And if I were looking to open some industry in Wisconsin, do you think I'd do it now? Look at the way they're acting. Look at that. They want to shut down the whole state. These ones want a general strike. They want to shut down the country. I'll tell you what. You shut down Wisconsin, and we'll shut down every other state. See, I'll show you how that works. All right? You want to shut down the government? Fine. We're all in or we're all out.
Have we had any interviews? Have we heard any interviews from any of the county school superintendents?
No, but aren't they union, too?
Well, I do not know that. I don't think a superintendent is a county job, I believe, and it's not a teaching position. But you know, I don't think I've heard from any of them to say, you know, these teachers need to get back, or what we're going to do is, you know, we will call in substitutes and open these schools back up.
Exactly.
You know, if I were these parents, I'd be flipping outraged, and I'd be saying,
no,
you know what,
I don't
want my kids
yet. Give them another week.
In July, I want some school open that I can get my child into some kind of a classroom.
Yeah, give them another week, and they'll start getting... See, right now it's all a novelty, and, oh, yeah, it's only a couple of days.
Well, but, you know, some of
let
these parents
week
have
and
to
watch
pay
all
for
the
daycare.
Parents.
They don't have that kind of money to be paying $50, $60 a day for daycare or babysitters.
Well, if it's important enough, they will get down to the state house, and they will counter-protest.
Well, that, you know, I'm sure that some of that's going on. But, you know, other people, if they're, you know, if they're working two jobs or both parents are working, you know, what are they going to do with their kids?
Take them with you. They seem to have no problem dragging the kids up to the protest anyhow. Might as well take them with you.
Well, but I'm talking about the parents that are, you know, that want their kids back into the classroom. And
I'm sure they all want the kids back in school. But, you know, the parents aren't mad enough yet. Give them another week.
May I interject here for just
you
a moment?
You certainly may. Sure.
I don't know if either of you or any of your audience happened to catch the article here. Oh, it was within the last month about a Denver school that was allowed to operate without union, period. They were listed as the worst school in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
When they reopened, there were only 6 teachers left of the original faculty. They all got replaced. By the time that these teachers were through, they had like a 97% graduation rate. People were on the honor rolls. These teachers were actually doing their job as opposed to being classified as a daytime babysitter for people so they could go to work. And that's where our problem lies, is with the unions who are keeping on these teachers that do not perform, period, and the young teachers that are willing to go in and actually teach are at the bottom of the pile because of seniority, and they're being let go. Now, where is the absolute sense in that?
Yeah, I know. One of the teachers was Teacher of the Year, and she got let go because she was one of the newer ones. I heard about that. But also, you know, Denise and Bobby were talking, and I was talking, of course, too. Maybe it is time to privatize the schools.
You're going to pay
the property tax anyhow. You might as well contract it out.
Well, Iowa is starting to accept a little more of the idea of charter schools, which I think is going to be a tremendous boon for the education in this state.
Yeah, well, you know, figure out what it's going to cost you per student, and then make sure you have those, you know, if it's already costing you, say it's cost you $20,000 a year per student in property taxes, put out a contract, see if you can get it for $18 per student, you know, and if you can, and they can do a better job. You know, the unions used to be a good thing, but our laws have now caught up with what the unions were of collective bargaining. There is no benefits left to bargain for. The Wisconsin teachers had a 92% increase in benefit levels in the last, I think they said 5 years. I was looking at the article. But, I mean, how many more benefits can you negotiate? What do you want next, trampolines? You know, just that's it. You're at the top of the heap. You got all the benefits we can possibly afford you. So take that bargaining off the table. Talk about your paycheck. You want a raise? We'll bargain for the raise. You already got the days off. You already got the health care. You already got the pension. You already got the 401k. You got everything you wanted. All right? That's it. That's the top of the line. You're done. Now, chip in a little bit. And if you want to talk about your pay, we'll talk about your pay. Benefits are off the table. You're at the top of the heap. There is no more benefits to give you. Now, if they, our laws have caught up. We have OSHA for occupational safety. We have a Board of Health for cleanliness. We have child labor laws. We have laws about minimum wage. We have laws about hours that you can work and when overtime starts. We have labor relations boards. We have lawyers. We have judges. Okay, what are the unions doing? What they do is what this Wisconsin thing is they want to make it optional. Right now it's forced unionization because of the contracts. They want to do the contracts every year or every 2 years, and they want to get rid of forced unionization. They're not saying you got to get rid of your union. They're just making it optional. So what they don't want to do is it's costing administrative costs to take the money out of people's paychecks and send it to the union. So to get rid of those administrators, let the union member send the check to the union. You want to pay your union? Go ahead. No one's stopping you. Pay your union. But don't expect me to take it out of your check and do all the administrative stuff and send it to them. Do it yourself. You know,
the union
spend the 29 cents on a stamp.
Because they know if they are able to do that, the union's day is done. There are too many unhappy rank-and-file members in these unions that are so unhappy with what they have.
Right.
But they're forced, as you say, to pay the dues.
Yes. Now, if these unions are allowed to continue, all they are now is a fundraising arm of the DNC. That's what they do. They have taken these people's pensions and they have given it to politicians. They've handed it over to sleazy people like Bernie Madoff, trying to make a pyramid deal. You know, everybody wants the fast buck, so they hand it over to some shady guy because he's telling them, okay, you're going to get 200% back on your investment. So you hand it over to a guy like Bernie Madoff or somebody from Goldman Sachs or somebody from J.P. Morgan, and they tank it. So now you got to get that money back in the pension before they find out you embezzled it. So you buy a couple of politicians, you donate to their campaign, and then every law they make afterwards sends a lot more money back into you, whether it's for your union jobs, union contracts, union gifts, funding your little organizations, funding community products, programs. You know, it's all going back into their thing so they don't get arrested. But that's what's going on. They're pilfering these pensions, and now they got to find a way to get it back in there so no one goes to jail. And these suckers are paying them 3% of their paycheck every week or 6% or whatever the union's charging them. For what? They already got all the benefits. They already got all the laws. What do you need that union for? If you got a contract straight up with the government that says that you can negotiate your pay scales every year or every 2 years, tell the union take a hike. And if you don't, and if you want to keep your union, you go right ahead. You keep your union. No one's stopping you. But pay them yourself. You send them the check. Why should we have to pay the secretary to send your check to them? Send it yourself. And that's all they want. You know, they want to charge a little bit more on the benefits package, on the health care and the pension contribution. It's still less than half of the national average. And they're crying. In the meantime, most of the people most of the parents are out of work. Some of them have less paying jobs. A lot of them don't have benefits. No one wants to hear the crying. You know, they're making a good paycheck. They got a heck of a benefit package. So what if they got to contribute a little bit to their retirement? Everybody does. Handle it. You know? I mean, enough is enough here. This is just extortion on the taxpayers. For what? So Trumpka can send money to Obama? Or so Andy Stearns can run around the world? Or Wade Rafke can run around the world? Or, you know, it's agitating everybody. You're paying for your own demise. Knock it off. Huh. And there's my rant, which I said I wasn't going to do. I wasn't supposed to scare you, Frank.
Oh, you didn't scare me a bit. I'm
all right, because Bobby told me be nice.
You stated a very, very true fact when you said that the unions have outlived their day. They were a very good thing when the sweatshops were in operation, but they have gone from representing their members to doing exactly what you're saying. I was listening to Rush this afternoon telling me that Trumpka is in the Oval Office with Obama three times a week, and there are six members of Obama's own cabinet that he has not touched base with at all in the first 2 years of his presidency.
That is a fact. And when Trumpka is not in the White House, he's on the phone with somebody at the White House. And so he's got, and that's exactly right, he's got six cabinet members that he's never spoken to.
Yeah, well, Michelle Malkin put out a nice article today. It was actually a question. She said, how many times a month or week or day do you think that there is a union member in the White House, a union boss in the White House? Turns out it's every day. Exactly. Every day, somebody representing those unions are in that White House. Look at his sidekick, Andy Stearns. And
yeah, but
Donald
he also
Trump
calling
was
president of the United States because he's the biggest union member there is.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody knows he was a Chicago community agitator, and they voted for him, and that's what they got, a Chicago community agitator. He's no president. This guy couldn't run a parade. God, get me going. No, Obama is a community organizer. He doesn't know anything other than campaigning and community organizing. He's completely uninterested. Valerie Jarrett's running the show, and she's doing a really lousy job, too. You know, I mean, it's just too much now. It's time for Americans to wake up. We got to start fighting back. We're under attack from within. This is Obama's army. He's gathered his army. I hope we have. You know, and I know the Tea Party is work, but, you know, there might come a time that you're going to have to take a day off. And, you know, I feel bad because you don't want to take a day off. You probably can't afford to lose the pay. But what's it going to be, a day's pay or a country? You know, it's time we got to start thinking these things. And we need leaders. You know, we can't. Are we going to sit back and let a bunch of Chicago union thugs push us around? This isn't Chicago, honey. Keep that stuff up there where you learned it.
Look,
don't bring that to our house.
The White House is full of hustlers, and they learned to hustle in Chicago. And now it has become a cancer for the rest of the country. You know, they're hustlers. They're professional hustlers.
And everybody's scheming. You know, you can't get a straight answer out of these people. If you ask somebody a question, they'll dance, they'll shimmy, they'll do everything else except answer that question. And God forbid they do answer the question, it's a lie. If they tell you the sky is blue, you better go to the window and check. You know, I mean, if that's how it is, you can't talk to the news isn't giving you the right answers. I mean, all we have is each other. And I'm tired of being hustled. I'm tired of watching my country go down the tubes in the hands of these commies. And like I said, you know, back 2 years ago, you couldn't say the word socialist without everybody jumping down your throat and saying, oh, no, man, don't say that. That's wrong. Now they're marching by the tens of thousands in front of the Capitol building with signs. I'm a commie. I'm with the Socialist Party. I'm with the Communist Party USA. I'm with the Working Families Party. I'm with the Children's Socialists and Democratic Socialists and the Students of Socialists. I mean, come on. It's been in front of our faces. It cannot be any more clear. And these unions are not all unions. They're communist sympathizers. What else are you going to call them? Look around you. Look at their signs. Look at that says sponsored by CPUSA. Even Obama's grandfather and grandmother were members of CPUSA, Communist Party USA, card-carrying members. You know, this guy is dangerous. And all that stuff that happened in Egypt with all the community agitators, same people. You got your Code Pink. You got Wade Rathke, Drummond Pike. From the Tides Foundation, you got the Soros money there, you got the Muslim Brotherhood, all the same people. All the same people go around and around and around, the usual suspects. All
the
right?
Worst part of this, Bobby, is I'm watching the news here in Des Moines as I'm on the phone with you guys, and the media is basically saying that the Tea Party is, you know, they're trying to upset the apple cart. The whole point they are so far left that I don't believe one of them could stand straight up in a hurricane. And this is what's subjected to by the media nationwide day after day after day. If word would actually come out through the media, we could have a change for the better in a very short period of time.
Frank, the media fell first. All right, think of it this way. If you were going to pull a coup, how would you do it? What would you need? You'd need the media right away. You'd have to have that first. He controls the message, So you'd need them, right? You'd need your unions, but you would need control of the financial market and banks. He's got that. You'd need to control housing. He's got that. You'd need to control energy. He's got that. You'd have to have land and water. Yeah, they got that. You'd have to definitely control health care. He's got that. What's left? The guns, right?
Yep.
But if you look what happened in Libya, he doesn't even have to come for the guns. just fly over people with a plane and drop stuff on them. Or send his little mercenaries. Do you know he has 275 groups of private security just working in Iraq alone? They're all mercenaries. Blackwater is one group, but they're mostly Americans. And believe it or not, I know all you hear all the bad rep, and I'm not trying to stick up for them, but they're mostly Americans. Those are the ones that will probably won't turn against America. But the rest of the groups are less than 20% Americans, and they're equally funded and equally armed as our military. Plus, they to have our military supply line controlled. So,
true. However, there are 220 million patriots that are also out there armed, with not maybe the firepower that these people have, but we definitely have it in numbers. And mm-hmm. if they try and take the guns or try and bring in these mercenary groups, you will see hell in this country that's never been seen since 1863.
Well, every gun owner has about 3.5 weapons per person, per ownership.
Yeah. We also got a nice wide open border.
That's true. That's very true. And they were talking about this also earlier today in an article. They were talking about the bodies that they're finding on the Arizona and Texas border. There's a lot of them that are beheaded. Now, who is it that we all know that beheads their enemies?
Right. And look at all his friends. Look at all these organizations that happened in Egypt. Those people in Egypt got suckered. They didn't get anything. They had a military regime. They still have a military regime. All they did was shuffle the deck a little bit. It was all arranged. All these little organizing groups that were there, you know, these people had sticks and stones. It was just way too easy. Something wasn't right about that. So these other countries are going to try it now with sticks and stones, too. And they're getting met with firepower. So let that be a lesson to gun control advocates. That's what happens when the government has guns and you don't. But in Egypt, that was all pre-planned. You know, Mubarak wasn't doing very well. He was going to step down anyhow. They needed a change over there. They gave him a couple of concessions, but the military is still in control and will remain in control. The Muslim Brotherhood, that's part of these group of organizers that, you know, that they made a run for it. I don't know how well that's going to turn out there, but if anybody's looking, that went way too easy, didn't it?
You know, yes, it did.
Yeah, you know, way, way too easy. And then when the people in Yemen tried it, and the people in Tunisia, and the poor people down in Libya, or the Iranians, you know, Obama had an awful lot to say about Egypt. He was all over the place, and, you know, he was saying a heck of a lot. Hasn't said a word about Libya. A couple of words about Iran. You know, the people in Iran, they really do want liberty. They overthrew the Shah, and he was no good, but they overthrew him. And then they got this Ahmadinejad and the mullahs. So they went out of the frying pan right into the fire. So now they need to set another revolution. And this one's not as easy. Same with the people down in Libya. You know, their revolution isn't going to be easy, but those people actually want liberty. The people in Egypt, that was a hustle by the Muslim Brotherhood. They took advantage of a situation. Mubarak was on his way out anyhow, so they tried to make a run on it. And they used sticks and stones. Well, sticks and stones aren't going to work when they're dropping mortars over your head.
Very true. I want to thank you, ladies, for inviting me to come and speak on your show.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And I will maintain communication with you all on everything that I find. God bless our people. God bless Governor Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless the USA.
And God bless you, sir. Thank you very, very much for calling in. See, Bobby, I didn't scare him. And he was going off, too. I wasn't scared. You still there? I think everybody left me.
No, we're here.
Bobby, you still there? Oh, maybe she isn't. She would be if I opened her mic.
Yeah,
how's that? Is that better? Hello?
I'm in giant talk. Oh, my God.
I didn't know you hung up. I was watching the chat room. See, I told you that's your job. I was watching the chat room.
I've been watching them, too. There's some that are acting like little children in there using all kinds of little derogatory terms.
Everybody in the chat room, every opinion in there is your own, okay? The opinions in there are not necessarily those of this show or this network. It, you know, you're on your own in there. Try to keep it decent, will you?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, see, I didn't scare you guys.
Anyway. No, he did wonderful. You did wonderful, and I put you did good in the chat room, because after a while I started figuring, and I'm listening to the mic, and I'm going, she's not hearing me. She doesn't know I'm not there right now, but that's okay. He did great. Frank, you did great. I'm proud of you. Iowa's proud of you, and that's my roots way back when, stomping ground. So, yay, Iowa. So,
all right, well, our call-in number is 347-324-3704 if anybody else would like to call in. And I'll try not to rant. But, you know, this is getting to me. You know, let's talk about Libya for a minute. You guys, go ahead. Go ahead, Bobby. Finish up. I'm sorry.
I want to just chat. No, you did good. But I just wanted to finish up with what happened here today locally for me and stuff. You know, we touched on Iowa. We touched on busing in. They got bused into Iowa. But down here in Little Rock, we had a sad showing. They even had a clowny-looking guy with red, white, and blue balloons sticking out of his head up on the front.
It's pretty bad when the clown is bummed out.
Oh, my gosh. You know, talk about clowning around. These guys are idiots. And then, you know, there was no one in the audience. No one came to see them. They are shamed. You know, it's embarrassing. I've never seen
a whole bunch of them showed up and they were just talking to themselves. There was no crowd there to listen to them.
No, they just kept rambling on like they were talking to somebody, and there was nobody. I got pictures from the street all the way to the place at where they stopped on the steps there, and you're talking thousands of feet. There was no one there. And so I'm going to put my blog in the chat room so they can see the three pictures that I put up there. But that's an embarrassing turnout. There is no support for unions, and these unions are supporting illegal activities of those 14, plus the ones that they paid to get there. And then the doctors faking out notes and stuff, and all the unions pulling and getting fake notices to get paid to stand out there, which is a bunch of BS. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
So why would a union anywhere else in the country support the illegal activities that are going on in Wisconsin? And I'm so proud that there was no one there to listen to them because they were.
Yeah, I read an article about one of the bosses, the union bosses, has a brother who runs a homeless shelter. And they went by the homeless shelter and picked up all the guys, and they paid them $10 an hour, gave them all a T-shirt, and took them off to the rally. Those are non-union, rallying for the union. That was pretty, you know. And the union must have been paying for them, unless Obama was paying for them. But Obama's up to his ears in it. You see how he's trying to distance himself from that? Oh, no, we didn't have anything to do with it from the White House. Are you kidding me? Organizing for America put it out all over the web last week about all their rallies and how they're helping them out. And that's his, you know, organizing for Obama does nothing unless Obama tells them. All right? You got
exactly.
His right-hand man. You got Trumka. Trumka was his first choice for Labor Relations Board, but he couldn't pass the Senate confirmation. So he's out there running around. That's his man. You got Andy Stearns. You're telling him, and Gaspard, you know, right there in the White House with him. All right? So come on. Anybody who can't see it doesn't want to see it. I mean, because the denial can only last so long, and then it has to be intentional. You know,
well,
you can only stay stuck for so long before, you know, even it's smacking you all in the face. It's time to open your eyes, man. The denial ain't working out. If you don't think that Obama had anything to do with it, that's, you know, I mean, forget it. We're just going to have to step over you because it's just hopeless. But
exactly.
It's the same with the DNC. The DNC put it out there on their web pages. And we all got screen captures of it.
Absolutely.
It's not the DNC. Okay, so then why is your DNC site saying it is? And if it's not Obama, why is Organizing for America saying that it is? You know, and why is Trump out there?
Why are only Democratic legislators running for the hills?
I think they should keep going. I think they should all keep going.
Me
when
too.
You get water, get in a boat. Keep going.
Yep. Go back to wherever
you can go
country
each,
you want to go to.
Yeah, anywhere you go, you'll hit water. When you get to the water, get on a boat and keep going. Who needs them? They were hired
absolutely.
To do the people's work, not the union's work, the people's work. And they are running away from doing the people's work on behalf of the unions. So keep going. Who needs you?
And
the story.
Saying, oh
I mean, how much more clear does that have to get?
Really, but then they're telecommuting. They're saying, oh, I'm doing my work. I'm sitting at my computer. You know what?
Okay, put your computer on Skype and vote on this legislation.
No, we're
that's
not
right.
going to teleconference something, a vote in. We're not going to do that. We didn't pay these people. I mean, those people didn't pay their salary so they can go to another state and telecommute their job.
Okay, so no. Denise said
hell
no,
no.
That's the end of it. Show up at work.
Well, no.
Or quit.
Let one of
either
them
way,
call for
show
their
up at
paycheck.
Work or we'll replace you.
Let one of them call in for their paycheck information, and as soon as they're on the phone calling into the Capitol, they're there presently looking for information about this, then it's done. There's
you're
always a way
Illinois,
around.
We're working up with Obama's people.
Oh, exactly.
You know, of all the places to run, Illinois. That's not a dead giveaway.
Tricks.
Yeah, that's not a dead giveaway. What, are you going down to help Rambo? Did Rambo win yet?
Oh, I doubt it.
We know he's
going to
win. They just haven't posted it yet.
Well, they haven't pushed all the buttons to make it happen.
I like the fake Rom, anyhow. I like him better. I hope he stays on Twitter.
Yeah, I do, too. Yeah, he's more talented and more fun.
Yeah. Running away like that, forget about it. Forget about it. You don't show up at work. You don't have a job. That's just the way it is. That's the real world. And what do these people think? They're irreplaceable? Nobody's irreplaceable. There's a lot of unemployed
right.
people out there. And put an advertisement for 10 teachers in the paper, and you'll get 10,000 people apply for the job. Are you kidding me? There's a lot of hungry people out there. You are not indispensable. See you later. Don't let the door hit you. That's the way I see it. I have no tolerance. You don't want the job?
Yeah.
See you later. You don't do it that
way.
Well,
you know what?
You're not locked in.
What happens if you're in the military? You go AWOL, you get into trouble. You work at the candy store down the street. You don't show up, you don't have a job. You don't show up for anything, you're not going to have a job. And don't tell me they're going to go, oh, my gosh, I didn't know I would get fired. I didn't think the government could fire me. Well, what? You're not part of the government if you're not in your seat. Your seat
all right,
is vacant.
They contracted.
It needs to be filled.
They had a contract.
They're not
They contracted it. If they violate the contract, use force majeure and get rid of them.
Yep.
You know, they're
there
fighting for a contract, but they're not willing to honor one. See you later. Doors that way. Next. Zero tolerance. You know, you stick to the contract.
Think about
you know, why would I make another contract
with
you when you're not sticking to the first one?
Yeah, now wait a minute. One more thing, Joanne. What happens, get this, if a kid doesn't go to school for days? What happens to that kid's grade?
A truant officer will come after you, and the DCF or somebody will come get you and wonder why you're not sending your kid to school. Maybe they should send some of those union social workers out to find out what's going on. And those notes,
exactly.
Those notes are something, too. Those notes, especially the ones that say that they're emotionally distraught. Well, maybe they're not fit to deal with the children. Let's suspend them without pay until they get a psychological evaluation. Do 72 hours
absolutely.
In the nut house. See if that'll help you mellow out a little. Get a note telling me you're mentally disturbed. Well, then, I'm concerned. I think you're going to go postal. See ya. If you're mentally disturbed, I really don't want you around the kids. I don't know if you're going to hurt them.
Did you notice their email contact was a Gmail address for the doctors? Yeah, like that's real legit, you know? Yeah, I like that.
Those were real doctors. They were from the University of Wisconsin. Looking good over there,
University of Wisconsin.
That's what you're putting out over there, calling it doctors? If the doctor's willing to stand there and give you a
license.
False diagnosis, I don't think I'd go to him for a real one. Obama remembered everything. He even remembered the quack doctors for the notes. Needed absent notes, so we sent a couple of quack doctors from the university down.
Absolutely.
Yep, they remembered everything.
Had it all covered.
And it's not organized, right? Of course it's organized.
No. It was all accidental. They all got together and were just having a coffee clutch, and that's all they decided to talk about.
Yeah.
Nobody's believing that stuff.
Really.
So anyway,
but, you know, I didn't really want to talk about the union a whole lot today, but under the circumstances where they're talking about a general strike now, yeah, now it involves everybody. You want a general strike? You want a strike on my country? You better have a good reason. You know, I mean, if it's to save the country, fine. But if it's to stiff the taxpayers, we don't need you any more than we need Obama or who you're working for or with and hand in hand anyhow.
Well, make no mistake. This is a concerted effort by the unions and by those that are, in fact, supporting them to subvert the constitutions of those of the respective states. So it's going to continue on. And they're just, you know, they are going, they're backing the governors into a corner, and you know, they're going to do everything they can to bend the constitutions of these states.
Yeah, well, you know, the state constitution says they can fire them if they abandon their job, those senators. So start
it's
there.
It's a concerted movement. I mean, this is a full-blown agenda.
Yeah. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. mobilized. They even use the word mobilize. They have mobilized against the people. And the taxpayers, you know, the people who float the boat, the people whose money they're supposed to be the stewards of, they blow money. I was going to say like drunk sailors, but at least drunk sailors blow their own money. So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, they're just blowing money. They're just going through it. Oh, what's a billion here and a billion there? And so what? Give the teachers all the money they want and give the unions whatever they want. Don't worry about it. It's only money. We got screwballs over here who give us more. Plus, Geithner said that crash is imminent. Did you see that, guys? Let's talk
about
that.
Yeah,
he's
a real pick-me-up.
Yeah, he was asked if how long it's going to be, and he said, well, crash is imminent. So they said, well, what if we cut back the spending a little bit? He said, crash is still imminent. We have reached debt levels that are unsustainable. That word that everybody hates, unsustainable, but it's true. We can no longer sustain it. So it doesn't matter if you send your money
there.
To the...
They put us
yeah.
there, okay? We didn't do it. We're citizens. We don't write these checks. We don't negotiate these treaties. We don't negotiate these loans. We don't negotiate these grants. You know, we didn't do any of this. You know,
yeah.
they want to blame these people for taking mortgages that they couldn't afford. That's a load of crap. That's
right.
absolutely a load of crap.
They got paid for those mortgages three times now.
Right.
And they still have the collateral.
But that's beyond the point. They want to blame the citizens for these mortgages. That's a load of crap, okay? But the citizenry, 330 million Americans didn't do this, all right? Those in D.C. did this.
That's so right. That's their debt.
If the system collapses, the financial system collapses, every one of those, people, going all the way back to Jimmy Carter with the ninja loans, and the same thing with Bill Clinton and Paulson and Bernanke and Geithner. Every one of them ought to go to jail if they collapse.
Yes, you know, you notice they're talking about cutting back.
They collapse the system. We didn't do it.
Yeah, they're talking about cutting back on pensions, and yeah, they got to do that. But they're not talking about cutting back on administrative costs, and they're not talking about getting rid of Cousin Vinny, who you made a job for, or... They're not talking about all this foreign aid. You know, cut all foreign aid in half and then go through each program and decide which ones are no longer viable. They're not talking about cutting Hillary's pot stoves off for their microfinancing crap. No, no, no. They're going to keep that up. They're not going to cut the endowments for the arts, and they're not going to cut, you know, ant research, you know, to see the sex life of fleas or something like they do. They're not cutting any of that out. No. The minute... You tell them no, they can't have the money. The first thing they do is they start on little old ladies, cops, firemen, and teachers. Okay? Oh, yeah, we're going to have to cut all the cops and the old ladies and stuff. No, we're not. You know, all your overlapping stuff, like your $2 million for fruit trees on a golf course in Vanuatu, and then four agencies claim the same $2 million. The golf course got the first $2 million. Where'd the other $6 million go? We didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about the briefcase full of money that Hillary's running around with. He didn't say a word about paying all these chieftains and tribal leaders over there in Afghanistan and Iraq to get off our back. That's like paying protection in Chicago. You know, it's a nice bakery you got here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it, but I can make sure nothing happens to it. You give me $200 a week. That's what's going on here. You know, look at the, look at all the bribes. Not one bribe taken out of the farm bill. Not one of those sweet deals taken out of that health care bill. No, we're going to keep those. But we got to get rid of the cops and the firemen and the teachers and the nurses. Oh, boy, you know. Got to give us some money or we're going to have to cut cops. You know, how about cutting the bribes?
Well, that's part of Susan Rice's and Hillary's foreign policy gig.
Yeah. How about we cut these $200 million a day trips to India for Obama, telling us to cut back and we might have to forego a holiday here and there. In the meantime, she's eating lobster tails and beef short ribs up there in Colorado on a ski trip. Give me a break, will you? I mean, come on. And this is the clown we got running the parade? The guy is dangerous. And it's not even him. He's just the sap that's running it. But who's pulling the strings? He's got a whole shadow government. No one, you know, he's got all these czars. He's got all these regulators. He's got all these administrators. He's got whole new departments. He's got that whole new jobs department he made up for the GE guy. He uses his executive order for this and that and whatever.
Speaking of that, he just hired Steve Case from AOL.
Yeah.
He's the head of the jobs and competitiveness panel.
Competitiveness for who, China?
Competitiveness panel, the jobs and competitiveness panel.
Okay. And he had a governance panel, and he has, what was that other one that Andy Stearns is on? Some
he's
economic.
He's on an economic budget committee.
Yeah, he left Acorn $6 million in the hole, but he's on the economic committee.
Attaboy.
We gotta run this dream team. We gotta run the dream team. I'm sorry, but that's how it's gonna be. We can't. Not one. Denise had said it before. Not one person can take on this all. And if we let all these candidates beat on each other, they're gonna be so weak by the time they get out of the primaries, they're not gonna beat this clown either. So let's run them as a dream team. Let's run them as superheroes. Market them with music and lights and, you know, put the issues in there too, but make them superheroes. You know they're going to whip out the race card, so why don't we put Alan West and Herman Cain up on the top of the ticket. We'll take Sarah Palin and put her in energy. She's suited for that. Take Ron Paul. He's itching to get near that Fed. Put him on the Federal Reserve. Bolton. You like Bolton? Make him Secretary of State. He's got a steel spine. You know, he won't put up with all this craziness from all these wannabe dictators. How about Mitt Romney? He'd be perfect in the Treasury. He's a businessman. He's saved a lot of businesses. That's what he does for a living. He saves businesses, and he's been very successful at it. You know, run them as a team. You know, don't let them beat each other to death. And
no,
take away that race card.
Let them all start pointing out one. Have them geared to one thing. Bring out all the dirt that's going on here and make them work the job now. Point out all the inefficiencies of what's going on. So if Sarah Palin's in charge of energy, have her start talking about the oil, this, that, and the other thing. And if, John Bolton's doing this, point out what this one's doing wrong, that one's doing wrong, because you know what? They did this dirty stuff with everything before Obama started. You know, they started picking apart people and playing that game. Okay, we do it, but we magnify it times a thousand by having them go like dogs and start working it now.
Anybody who's got a nickel in that stock market has to be masochistic by now. Every bit of it is fraud.
Every bit
of it is fraud. It's all a lie. It's inflated so that they can sucker you in. They say, oh, yeah, the stock market's doing great. Come put your money in. The minute you put a nickel in there, they come and strip it right out of there again. It's not real. It's fake. But let's get Darrell Issa in there, and let's, you know, put him as Attorney General, or put him in the Department of Justice someplace. Let him find all these documents. He doesn't have to subpoena them. He can have them. He can have access to them. Give it to him.
And you know what? Find the best of the best young men, not old farts, that are military, and put them as the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Get people that know the battlefield, not the ones that are engineered to play the politics of the battlefield.
Well,
get
I don't want the damn decisions. Senate involved in the military at all. Let the military deal with their own house.
Right.
You know,
promotion.
Well,
Yeah, make them autonomous with some congressional oversight.
You know, to have the Senate determine who gets a promotion in the military absolutely stinks. They have no business doing that.
Yeah, no, that should be on merit, and they earn their way up. And then when you get to the top, it has to be an appointment. Yeah, that does. There's a lot of deserving people, you know, who aren't kissing ass, who probably should be up there. But still, you know, we gotta run the dream team. And each one of these candidates has a specific talent. Put them in that job. You know, it doesn't really matter who's on top. But you need them all. You can't just, you know, say you want Palin and West. Okay, I would certainly not oppose that. I'd take a combination of that any minute. But you can't let the rest of them go. You can't let Romney and Bolton and Kane all disappear. Absolutely not. You need them too. Bring them in. Let it be known, right? We are a team. And use this, you know how he had hope and change and all that? Use the slogan, teamwork.
Yeah.
You know, just that's it. One word, teamwork. No I in team.
To build a better America, involve teamwork, and that
mm-hmm.
would do it.
Yeah, so that's what we got to do. All right, we're going to have to take our second break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Libya and the Middle East, because that's all flipping out, too. So we'll be right back, folks.
Cool. Hi, folks, CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high quality, cost effective, and long term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to the cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you're prepared with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're a freedomizer.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. theinternationalforecaster.com.
If you have not checked out the Proof Negative show, this is what you're missing. If we cover the news, the mainstream media is too scared to cover. The mainstream media wants us to cover how many touchdowns in the latest hockey game, which celebrities don't wear underwear, and the top 10 ways how to spice up your goulash. Sorry, mainstream media, humanity is at stake. I don't have time for mainstream news. The Proof Negative Show, here on Freedomizer Radio, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern.
Listen to The Rude Awakening with Knucklebones on Freedomizer Radio Tuesday and Thursday nights, 10 to 12 p.m. Pacific. New World Order and related topics, callers and chatters are always stars of the show. Come participate on the air. When all else fails, it's a variety show. Check out The Rude Awakening.
And we're back live. You're listening to Liberty Underground, The Moretti Report. I'm your host, Joanne Moretti, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Denise and Bobby. We were talking about all this union stuff, and somebody's buzzing. we were talking about all this union stuff and what's going on, and, you know, well, we're in deep trouble here, guys. I mean, they have lost touch with reality altogether. You got Democratic representatives fleeing states because they don't want to take a vote. If they don't want to take a vote, what are they doing up there with the job of voting? That's their job. That's in the job description. You're supposed to vote. Okay? You can't vote. You can't stay. See you later. You know, this supposedly has spread from the Middle East. Maybe it has. Maybe it has, but it spread the wrong way. You know, there was a whole setup theater action in Egypt, and everybody else thought that they were going to get away with throwing sticks and stones and overthrow their government, too. And they were hit with a serious backlash from the dictators who didn't want to be overthrown, like Gaddafi, for one. Just before we came on the air, I saw this. Gaddafi orders oil sabotage, source tells Time columnist. This is from Reuters. Time magazine's intelligence columnist reported on Tuesday that Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has ordered his security forces to sabotage the country's oil facilities, citing a source close to the government. In a column posted on Time's website, Robert Bauer said the sabotage would begin by blowing up pipelines to the Mediterranean. However, he added that the same source had also told him 2 weeks ago that unrest in neighboring countries would never spread to Libya, an assertion that has turned out to be wrong. Among other things, Gaddafi has ordered security services to start sabotaging oil facilities, Bauer wrote. The sabotage, according to the insider, is meant to serve as a message to Libya's rebellious tribes. It's either me or chaos. The growing violence in Libya has forced a number of oil companies to shut in production of Africa's third largest oil producer and disrupted flows from the country's export terminals. Security forces have cracked down fiercely on demonstrators across the country, with fighting spreading to Tripoli after erupting in Libya's oil-producing east last week. As the fighting has intensified, some supporters have abandoned Gaddafi. Bauer, a former Middle East CIA officer, said the source told him that as of Monday, Gaddafi had the loyalty of only about 5,000 of the country's 45,000-strong regular army. Paraphrasing the source, he said that Gaddafi had also ordered the release from prison of the country's Islamist militant prisoners in hopes they would act on their own to sow chaos. What do you think of that story there? How about you, Denise?
Well, I mean, it's a, you know, he's one of the bigger OPEC nations.
Yeah.
He certainly holds a lot of people by the short hairs. It's already cost us big time in the United States today. I mean, oil's up and gasoline's gone up as much as $8 a gallon in a matter of hours. You know, our administration clearly has a response, but they won't use it. And the response is that we can increase our drilling here and our refining, but they won't, you know, they won't do it. So if we continue, if we get up to close to $4 a gallon, that will be yet another nail in the coffin of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, we are, I mean, you said it yourself, that Geithner said it's going to crash, the system's going to crash. Well,
it's going to crash a lot faster if oil goes beyond four.
Now, his, Gaddafi's interior minister defected today, too, by the way.
Yeah, I heard something about that. I heard some colonels took some planes over to Malta, too.
That was a couple of days ago. But his interior minister defected. He joined up with the protesters. And, you know, yesterday his Secretary of War was placed under house arrest.
Yeah, well, that military, they, you know, they've been firing at people, but now they're saying some of them are defecting. But, yeah, they're going to need the military's help. So I hope the military, you know, stops what they're doing and stops turning against their own citizens, because you got all those mercenaries in there and all those criminals and everything. These people are going to be slaughtered even worse than they are already. It's just, it's terrible over there. And those people are fighting for real freedom. And you noticed Hillary come out with some strong words today. Angela Merkel had stronger words than Hillary. And Sarkozy come out with a statement. Obama, he referred all statements to his press secretary, who referred them back to Hillary. So he couldn't shut up about Egypt, which is another indicator that it was all pre-planned and it was all a scam. He didn't shut up about Egypt. But he hasn't said hardly anything about Iran and nothing at all about Libya. You know, he wants to have those Muslim brotherhoods in Egypt, obviously. But he likes the hardline Islam rulers. He's got to. Because they're fighting to get out from under that, and he's not helping them. He's not saying a word. And we have no friends. He got rid of all our friends. He gave away nuke secrets for the UK. He's been kicking Israel since the day he took office. He was the Jews' friend before he took office, though. Remember all the places he went? He went to all the synagogues. He went to all their meetings and rallies. You know, he reassured them he was a good friend with Israel, and then he kicked Israel in the teeth every time he got the chance. You know, we don't have any friends left. And now if this guy Gaddafi ends up over with Chavez over in Venezuela, that's double trouble from that end.
I'm looking at a WikiLeaks cable on Gaddafi.
Yeah.
This guy's a piece of work.
Why? What's it say?
Well, it says, alas, since he appears to have little to no presence in the U.S. Yellow Pages, we are forced to resort to WikiLeaks cable, and it gives a number, a glimpse into the Libyan leader Gaddafi's eccentricities, where in addition to all the things one would expect to find in such a cable, we learn of a particular love interest, including a Libyan dictator, namely, a voluptuous blonde Ukrainian who is supposedly his personal
nurse,
but more importantly, concubine. So for the gossip crowd here goes. Gaddafi relies heavily on his longtime Ukrainian nurse, Galina, and then it's X'd out because I guess it's her last name, who has been described as a voluptuous blonde. But the rumor staff of the four Ukraine nurses that catered to the leader's health and well-being, and it's X'd, emphasized to multiply MBOFs that our Gaddafi cannot travel without X, as she alone knows his routine. When X's late visa application resulted in her security advisory opinion being received on the day of Gaddafi's party plan to travel to the United States, the Libyan government set a private jet to ferry her from Libya to Portugal to meet up with the leader during his rest stop. Some embassy contacts have claimed that Gaddafi and the 38-year-old ex have a romantic relationship. While he did not comment on such rumors, a ex recently confirmed that the Ukraine nurses travel everywhere with the leader. That is a paraphrase of the cable. I've got the whole cable here, but it's obviously very long because it's talking about his mercurial eccentric experiences with inside his office and his.
Oh, boy.
His consular application regulations, and leaders must stay on the first floor of any facility that's rented for him, and he's not allowed to climb more than 35 steps. Let's see here. Also sought accommodations, room to pitch Gaddafi's Boudin tent. Remember, Gaddafi's traditional site for receiving visitors and conducting meetings, as it offers him a nonverbal way of communicating that he is the man close to his cultural roots. On long flights and an apparent fear of flying over water also caused logistical headaches. I mean, this guy is a nutcase.
Yeah, and phobic. Yeah.
By the way, there's some good news, though, guys.
What is it?
I just put it in the chat room. The Iraqi who ran over his daughter out there in Arizona,
yeah,
and the honor killing, was convicted.
Good.
For murder.
Yep.
Yay.
Yeah, now keep an eye on that so he doesn't get cut loose and sent back to his home
exactly.
country.
Well,
yeah.
He's going to go through, what, 15 years of appeals?
Yeah, if they don't
slip
him out the back door and send him back to his own country.
I don't think there's an extradition on it, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, they just, you know, cut him loose and send him over there with the Uyghurs. I saw in the chat room, too, that somebody said the mercenaries won't turn. You're right. They won't turn. That's why I'm saying I hope the military does turn and supports the people instead of the regime, because those people cannot fight those mercenaries. They're going to need the military's help for that. Those mercenaries should hightail it out of town, because if the military turns, there's going to be more problems. But,
well,
yeah,
the
no, the mercenaries are loyal to the client, not the Constitution. Same in that case, too, if they come here, so be prepared. Look at everything they're doing. Look at how it was all organized. And they thought of everything, including doctors. Don't think they didn't think about forcing, too. I'm sure they have a force to reckon with, ready to rock. Any more news on the ships that went through the Suez? Anything from Israel?
Israel is on full-blown high alert. Remember that ship is supposedly empty, and it very well could be.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go to Syria and pick up any nastiness, then that's why Israel is walking on thin ice. Israel is watching that very, very, very closely.
How will they know if they do pick up cargo in Syria? And how will they know what that cargo is?
They'll know.
Okay.
You got satellites, you know, you've got people that are over there, you know. You got the Mossad, you know, the Mossad's not stupid. They're certainly smarter than our CIA. You know,
I don't know about that. Our CIA is probably pretty smart, but they've been kneecapped.
Yeah, but, you know, they're probably as nasty, if not nastier, than our CIA. The Mossad's not stupid, so they probably already have people over there in Syria. I mean, we got, like, triple...
Yeah, I want to learn a lot more about this CIA because, you know, I'm hearing good things, I'm hearing bad things, you know, and, you know, some people despise them, some people trust them. I don't really know enough about them yet, so I'm going to have to educate.
You can't put everybody in the same bucket. You know,
yeah.
Panetta, clearly he's not doing his job, and Clapper, clearly he's not doing his job, but I can assure you there are some people within the CIA that are trying to, and there are others that are, you know, been given these nefarious missions. So, I mean, it goes from the sublime to the ridiculous. It runs from one spectrum to the other.
Before he appointed Panetta, when it was just talk, I looked up Panetta and wrote an article about him. He is a flat-out commie.
Sure he is.
For real commie. You know, he's a communist sympathizer. He knows all these communist leaders. And he has communist leanings. And he's, you know, he said some pretty serious things back in the day. So you have to take him for what he's worth. He's I don't know how the rest of the CIA is putting up with that. I don't know why our national intelligence is putting up with any of this. I don't know why our military is putting up with any of this. They got to be able to see what's going on. If we can see what's going on, I'm sure what we thought were our safety nets can see what's going on. They're obviously not very good safety nets. We messed up. We don't have anybody. Shouldn't they be putting a stop to this? Shouldn't they be at least getting it out to the people so we can back them up? We already know what's going on. Please, these representatives flee to another state, and these people got pictures of them, got their license plate, got them on film and everything else, so they can't hide.
That's not a CIA's job.
No, but I'm saying these people can't hide. So if lay people can see what's going on with these representatives, can't the military, can't the CIA?
Well, sure.
You know, look,
the
can't
CIA
they see what's going
knows.
On in front of these state capitals? Can't they see, you know, what the organizations are and who the organizations are and who the leaders are? They must know all their backgrounds. We certainly do.
Well, that's an FBI job. That's not a CIA job.
All right, so the FBI then instead of the CIA. Some of them, they're part of the safety net too. Aren't they supposed to be keeping an eye on this stuff?
Or a DHS job.
Yeah, well, DHS, they're all compromised at the top. All these agencies are compromised at the top, but what about the middle fiddle? You know, even the Libyan military is defecting.
You know, I guarantee you that the middle fiddle of all these agencies are doing what they're supposed to do. They send their stuff up, their reports up the ladder, and then, you know, it gets thrown in a file cabinet.
Yeah, so after they get blown off long enough, don't you think that they would rally up and say, hey, wait a minute, how come no one's acting on this?
No.
Why aren't we getting any results?
No.
Or they just say, okay, fine, you know, forget about it, and walk
away? What else are they going to do?
You're on your own
job.
All right, then we're on a... I'm sick of this. Everybody wants the job. It's because of my job, my job, my job.
Well, wait till the CIA...
There's a big difference between your job and your duty.
Oh, yeah?
You know, he swore an oath to the Constitution. So,
but if
you know,
you're a government
your job
contractor,
is,
you didn't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you look at Raymond Davis over there in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say he was a CIA, you know, he had diplomatic immunity. Does he really? He's a contractor.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't know. I mean, he is contracting for the CIA.
Right.
But
so, he, you know, did he take an oath? Do contractors take an oath?
Yeah, well, that article about him giving away secrets, if he was giving away secrets, he'd already be dead. They would find a way to get him back here. But I don't know. I'm sure.
You won't.
I'm telling you, his what's going on with this guy right now, it ain't pretty, I'm sure.
No. He's in there,
you know,
with nasty.
And then
nasty.
Send John Kerry over there.
Yeah, I mean, if John Kerry, you know, maybe Bill Richardson should have gone.
Yeah, well, if he was a chick, I'm sure Bill Clinton would have went. He came back with those two girls. Send Bill Clinton over there. Or Jimmy Carter, they like him. Send him over there.
Pakistan.
But John Kerry?
Desperate.
Yeah, but John Kerry? Come on. John Kerry, he's the biggest internationalist, globalist. He'll tell you himself.
But
anybody
that's
wants
why
to look?
He wants to take over Hillary's job. She can't go.
Is this a payback for that Valerie Plame thing?
I don't think so.
Okay, because, you know, that would really... really be terrible if they try to pull a payback like that and use this guy.
It's a parallel story, but it's not a payback.
Any word from the funeral for the ICE agent? I know Holder was going. Did Nappy go?
I didn't think Holder went. Nappy did go.
Nappy went?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, would they go down there to check out the handiwork, sending those guys on a suicide mission? They know those guys are not armed, and they know that that's a death job. They know they're going to get killed down there. It's just a matter of time. If they had to kill their own, they wouldn't hesitate. What is that buzzing?
I have
they
no
wouldn't...
idea.
Can you hear it?
I have no idea.
Oh, dropped again. No, now it's a lower tone. Sounds like a hearing test. Yeah, but, you know, they sent that guy on a suicide mission, unarmed. And then he's traveling back and forth doing official business. They knew it wasn't safe. And they still got, what, 18 or 19 down there? You know, I think it's probably time to bring them home.
I think it's a moneymaker for the sicko administration. Each time one goes, there's a funeral, there's insurance, and it's more money, and they're scooping it away under the death benefits clause. You know?
Yeah, well, there's no reason
to
send unarmed people into a war zone, and that's definitely a war zone.
And it's all about the money. Shamefully so, too. It, you know, it's no accident that some of our people are getting killed in this manner while Gaddafi is dropping bombs over on his people, while earthquakes happen over here and floods happen over there. And, you know, it's no accident that it's affecting the population every little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The four people that died on the ship, not that they were going to reproduce, but that's four more bodies that they can say, oops, got four more just in that quick time, you know. In Mombasa, it's all about control, control, control.
Yeah, some of
control.
Those ships that were taken, like that cargo ship that had the one that had the oil in it recently. Goldman Sachs was shorting that before
mm-hmm.
it went out on its voyage. So what did they know? Is
it's
it
all
insured?
About the money.
Yeah, it's all about the money. They don't care about the crew. And they certainly don't care about those ICE agents. If my kid or my husband or my brother, whatever, was an ICE agent down in Mexico, I would beg them to come home right away. You know, you can't have a gun down there. You're an American. You're an ICE agent. That right there, they might as well just put a big bullseye on you. And Nappy knows it. And Holden knows it. And Obama knows it. So that ICE agent's blood is on their hands. And then they have the audacity to show up at the funeral.
Well, and you got to look at the rules of engagement. That is causing more deaths than anything. We have more deaths under Obama overseas, okay? Why are the rules of engagement thus that these guys walk around defenseless until they double check, and then they can put a bullet into the chamber, and then they can shoot? By that time, how many got killed around them? You know, they never talk about how these...
They can't shoot back at the civilians in the area either.
Exactly. So what? So they can get killed, but
so what are they,
civilians.
Supposed to do? Stand there and take it? Ask the pedestrians, hey, move real fast so I can shoot this guy back so I don't get killed? It's insane.
Well, you're
someone's shooting
at killing
you.
Our
forget the rules. Shoot back.
They're killing our young men and women over there who are the ones that will produce the next generation. And if they stop from them from producing the next generation, the greedy bastards in the one New World Order and Agenda 21 and all that can have their fun and say, yep, we controlled that population. We got some extra money. So we had some collateral damage here, 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 and here. They don't care. It's all about the money and how they can sit on their big fat behinds and drink margaritas poolside wherever country they decide they want to buy eventually.
Yeah, well, you know.
And just taking it.
I'm just thinking, you know, they had 50 dead over the weekend. And everybody knows what's going on down there. Everybody knows that they're not closing off our border. Everybody knows that ICE agents are probably the least liked people down in Mexico.
Well, you'll like this one, because I'm reading a piece here that says it's in the budget request for fiscal 2012. The U.S. Department of Justice cuts funding for the Drug Enforcement Administration by $38 million. By asking for steep increases in other departments in the agency. The Obama administration has described the Mexican drug cartels as the greatest organized crime threat in the United States. Funding for the DEA would drop $2.5 billion for 2012. Increased funding for the other DOJ departments would include detention trustee department tasked in part with cost savings and efficiency of the federal detention system, which is getting a $156 million increase if the budget is approved as is. The federal prison system would see a $606 million increase.
Ooh.
And a $138 million increase is requested for general legal activities at the DOJ.
Oh, so they got a little slush fund going there, too, for general unassigned money, too. Nice. All right,
so,
we have 2 minutes left.
They want to take the money out of the DEA, but they want to put it into the DOJ. The budget requests a $3 billion increase in DOJ's litigation components to support litigation efforts to protect civil rights, consumers, intellectual property, and, here's the kicker, the environment.
Yep. Isn't that what Nappy said she was working on, too, the environment? So they're backdooring. They know they're not going to get cap and trade, so they're going to put it in every agency.
And the
so there's no way to pull it out.
The budget proposal would cut $588 million in local and state grants, including $194 million for communications in the state criminal alien assistance program. So they have no interest in handling this illegal problem at all.
Nope, and she said she wasn't securing another mile of border either. Hey, we're out of time. You want to say bye, everybody?
Bye, everybody.
Bobby, you want to say bye, everybody? I know you're not on the phone, so I just looked. Bye, everybody. Love, Bobby. All right, I'll do the closing. Folks, we're out of time for today. We'd like to thank all our listeners, our callers, and the wonderful people in the chat room. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember, we're Liberty Underground, and we're here Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 3 p.m. Pacific. Please stay tuned to Freedomizer Radio. There's much, much more coming your way. Next up is the New World Order in primetime, and tonight your host is the man, Knucklebones. Then, at 9 p.m. Eastern, it's the big boss man, Proof Negative. Both these shows offer more news, commentary, and some cool entertainment, too. So we hope you'll stick around. We'll close out our show with some Zsa Zsa, Total Control. Good night, America. We love you.
This is a control grid to track and trace and make it a second-class citizen. They're going to decide what sites you visit, and they're only going to allow a couple thousand sites. 99% of the web will be off-limits.
lies dealing freedom of speech. Politicians seem out of reach. You can find them nude on a beach. Lots of rights we had done were breached. Ask Pelosi why not impeach. Suicide is flowing with greed. All they see is green in between. Men feeding the sheep with TV. Gully up, you still don't believe.
Freedom fighters. Freedom fighters. there's gonna be a hell to pay. The truth will always remain.
Tuned into Worldwide Freedomizer. This is Knucklebones and the Rude Awakening in primetime, hijacking the New World Order report in primetime. So, stuck between primetime and big time at 6 o'clock Pacific or 9 Eastern when proof negative will appear. He had Hesh Goldstein on yesterday. I was the guy who was supposed to have him on here. I never bothered to call, so you may all throw tomatoes at me. Anyway, he ended up on proof negative, so I guess everything's okay. That's a little bit early for him, though, so I may get reprimanded. I'm just not so sure my nighttime people will want to hear about eating healthy. I'm just, you know, I have no idea. That has nothing to do with anything. I just dropped the ball on that one, so I get gonged.
Oh!
Yeah. Anyway, Worldwide Freedomizer, not just saying it, it's a fact. We cover the globe with alternative news. We have a lot of different points of view on here, conservative, liberal, libertarian, independent, you know, atheist, Christian, whatever. We try to cover all ends of the truth movement. We don't want to shut anyone out. At the same time, we don't want to let someone's belief corrupt the essence of Freedomizer. And that's pretty much a group of good people getting together to fight for our country back. That's it in a nutshell. You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't want to live like Iran and China and Russia. And that's exactly what you're going to get if you're siding with the Union out here. I guess a lot's been talked about Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, and the Union stepping in the way. You know, my own experience with the Union is they're not worth the trouble. You pay in your dues, you get work when it's there, and you get paid well when it's there. The rest of the time, you know, you're on unemployment, and pretty much it's just, for me, it's a big drain on the economy. They spend a lot of time standing around in the Union, and if to the person in question, they have to go to your shop steward, and it's in the steward's best interest to take the side of the Union every time. So
I don't think good production gets done. I'm not saying those, you know, those guys are trained well. They got to go through training. They're professional. Chances are they're not on drugs, like you'll get with some of the smaller outfits. You may get a bunch of alcoholics and druggies, but you know that's an old problem. That's not. I don't know how much of that goes on anymore. You know, myself coming out of that environment where it was party every day to what I do now, I can't even imagine anybody living that kind of life and getting away with it. I'm sure there are people, but there aren't many. I think people came to the realization that it's poison, it will corrupt your whole life and so on. So in spite of the New World Order, CIA, and Mexican drug cartels' ambitions, I think the American people, have thought better of it and have become better people in the process. So I know I have. Anyway, Moretti report just over with. Those guys are a force here on Freedomizer. As you can see, when I stepped into the fray, they all left. So sorry I can't bring you the news you want to hear. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm not really let's put it this way. I'm prime time material, but I'm not a prime time guy. I'm more of a nighttime guy. I'm prime time then. And just kind of fill in the shoes of Trav Nile. One, hoping and wishing that he'll come back, but I guess he's over there at Common Sense with the rest of our conservative, you know, members of Freedomizer, like Jay and Army Girl. And you know what? I wish those guys the best. Not everybody's going to fit into the Freedomizer mold for one reason or another. Whatever the case may be, I love all those guys. I support their show. Anybody who's been in and out of Freedomizer, I got their back. You know, if Moretti Report leaves one day, I got their back. They're a show that, I don't know, they're kind of outside of the station, though. I like them, don't get me wrong, but they seem to be doing their own situation, and it's aside from Freedomizer, and I'm a network guy. I'm completely on board with Freedomizer, so maybe I'm mistaken. I just see that generally the support for Freedomizer is the same on all the shows, and we all get the same listeners. But in the case of this show, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's who they support. But, you know, you can't make them do what they don't want to do is what I'm saying. I hope they'll come back for proof negative. You know, in the long run, making all the shows popular, whatever the case may be, of course, nobody's going to sit here 9 hours a day. We got to take that into effect. So I'm not, you know, it's nothing personal. I'm just saying that in general, this is a network and we all scratch each other's back here. You know, I may or may not, you know, like when Moretti first got here, for instance, I thought, hey, you know what? They put out some good information. I'm going to have my hands full trying to keep up with them. And that is definitely the case. They have the best numbers of any show on Freedomizer, and they do a great, fantastic job. I just don't feel well-loved by them. In spite of that, I always share the show and promote the show. So, you know, either way, I'm going to support anybody on Freedomizer. I think they do a great job. I just don't feel a lot of love from their listeners. There's nothing they can do about that, though. So that's taken up a whole lot of space I didn't want to put out there. But I tend to do that now and then. I just see 20 people leave the chat room. I get kind of makes you feel bad. Not so much feel bad. I know my listeners are a completely different crowd. Anyway, what does Knuckle Bones and the Rude Awakening have on the table, since I don't have Hesh Goldstein and I don't have daytime material? What do I have? Why am I here? Why do I, you know, why do I do Freedomizer? What's my point? And I can tell you that all the way up to the top of Freedomizer, they still wonder. I know they do. They won't admit it to you. But TC, proof negative, they wonder, how in the hell does this guy get so many downloads? What does he do? What makes him so cool? And what does he talk about? And what is his topic? I never have a topic. And maybe that stands out. Maybe that makes me different. Maybe that makes me, you know, not worthy of real news. But really, I mean, I'm doing, I don't have the team of people, but I can go on the internet and find what's hot right now and talk about it. I know what's hot. I watch the news, watch, listen, watch videos, look at my face. I mean, I'm all in it all day. I'm in the information. I know what's going on right up to the second, usually. An outstanding thing happened today, by the way. As you know, as I've told you, Glenn Beck, frequent listener of Knuckle Bones and the Rude Awakening, well, today on his show, he finally said it. I don't know if he said it before. If he did, I missed it. He finally said it today. Welcome aboard. Welcome down the rabbit hole, Glenn Beck. And welcome to the team. He said New World Order. He also showed, he said New World Order. And he also showed the symbolism of that half moon and that shape that is in so many corporations and on so many countries' flags. If you look at Russia, China, they've got that half moon look in their flags, or they did. I know China has a different flag now. I don't recognize it, but that half moon, that sickle, that half moon, the Islamic half moon and star, all of that ties into sun and moon worshipers. All of that is part of the schools of mystery. And this is all part of the big plan. I don't know if there's any way to avoid it. I really don't. I don't know if this is revelation or what. I do know that I'm on my best behavior I've ever been in my life. Is it due to that? No, it's just due to smartening up. You know, living right and keeping a closed mind is very, very underrated. You know, walk a straight line, do the right things in life, make the right choices. Life is so much easier. Anyway, that's hard to do for some people in this world where up is down and left is right. Well, like I said, welcome to the rabbit hole, Glenn Beck. Glad to hear you mention the New World Order. He also mentioned about, you know, when is it time to cut out? When is it time to bug out? You know, like we talk about on the show every now and then, bugging out, getting prepared, having a bug out pack, having some water stored up, maybe ammunition if you are inclined to ammunition. I myself, you know, if they come knocking at my door, you know, I'll fight to the death, but I'll be doing it with a freaking buck knife. You know, that's me. I'm not allowed to have a gun. I'm a criminal. Anyway, thing is, it's just, you know, I don't know. I've never agreed with the law myself. I figure, you know, if I wanted a gun, I could make a phone call right now. Right now. Call up my buddies out in the L.A., Crips and, you know, Crips. call them up, make a phone call. I'd have a gun with no numbers on it, and I could just go berserk. So them not letting me protect myself is absurd. But you may wonder, oh, what did he do that he can't have a gun? You know what? Out in California, you can just say something, and it's a felony. If you need really must know, I made a terrorist threat. I threatened somebody. And there it is. That's all. You know, and that's the way it goes. So, in California, you can't do that. You got to watch your mouth or hope that the person that you said whatever to isn't going to call the police on you. If they do, then it's up to you to prove yourself innocent. While you're rotting in county, that decision becomes a little bit more cloudy. I would have pled innocent, let's be honest here. But after a month or 6 weeks in county jail with Bloods, Crips, you know, 7-foot-tall transvestites, you know, with a set of breasts, you know, the whole environment there, people with tattoos on their forehead and face, and their prison numbers tattooed on the back of their neck. I mean, this is the kind of environment I was in there. So, you know what? I wasn't real. My resolve was strong. You know, I knocked down their offer of a deal more than once. And, but I just couldn't do it again. I just had to get out of there. Not that, you know, nobody bugged me. I was with the, three other, what do they call you in jail? Woodpeckers or something, peck of woods. I was with the three or four of them over in the corner. And, you know, we're pretty insignificant in jail. So you're on your best behavior. You pretty much have to take quite a bit if you're not a Southsider here. Southsider being Mexican-Americans, gangbangers. They run jail. They have cash money in jail. They have cell phones. They have drugs. They have anything. And that's how it is out here. You know, it's a big business. Unless you're on the inside and see it with your own eyes, you can't believe it. And you wonder to yourself, how on earth did anybody get cash? Never mind the dope dealing Southsider next to me. Never mind how did he get cash. I mean, you know, you would think, okay, somebody handed that guy cash. Well, where did it come from? You know, he's doing dollar or two deals. Here and there, and where do they get it? They don't even allow you to have money in jail. So that's the kind of power these gangs and this criminal element has out here, all the way up into politics. So when you're dealing with the New World Order, what you're dealing with is an elite gang. It's an elite gang. It's a mafia. It's above the mafia. And it's a family. They're related, a lot of them, by blood, the Illuminati bloodlines. This is a fact. This isn't some kind of weird, you know, nonsense I'm talking to you. This is true fact. The Illuminati and the Rothschild bloodlines and how they went and, you know, took a certain amount of families under their wing and impregnated. You know, they keep within that group of people in general. As like in your own family, you can't control everything your kids do. So I'm sure even these Illuminati families and Rothschilds and whatever, some of those kids break away and rebel. What happens to them, you know, the way they're brought up, I've met some of these people in life. They're sickos. They're so... You may want, yeah, sure, you met Illuminati. Trust me, I've met Illuminati. I have. It's the only reason I found this information. They mentioned things to me, and I went looking for the information. I ended up at Alex Jones. I didn't know about Alex Jones. I didn't know about any of this. And I heard this information long ago. I was under, you know, anyway, under assault. Let's just say I... you know, could have been a contender. I could have been part of the machine. I chose not to, and I took a beating for it. And will continue to take a beating probably the rest of my life. I couldn't think of anything more honorable to do than fight the New World Order. It's the devil. It's the devil. How else can I put it to you? You want to think politics, you want to think religion. You know, people want to, they want to talk about all these different things, and they want to say, oh, well, I believe in the New World Order, and I believe something's out there. It may not be Jesus, but there's probably a higher power, and, you know, people can't wrap their mind around certain things. You know, it's just, nobody wants to believe that men are corrupt, that some men are so corrupt that they have no conscience. You know, because you people with a conscience, you can't conceive of that. You can't understand why, how someone could have no conscience. Well, let me tell you, they don't. And this is part of their plan. This Islamic uprising in the Middle East is going to finish off our economy. And like Glenbeck said, when gas hits $5 a gallon, just think of the impact that'll have on your paycheck out there. I don't know about the rest of you. You know, when I was working construction, it was $400 or $500 a week take home. Now, if you're doing better than that, good for you. Good for you. But most people are doing worse than that. You know, they're making whatever, 200 and something at Walmart or Kmart or Target or some D-bag job like that, because that's what they can get. There's not a lot of building going on. There's not a lot of skilled jobs going on. Just throw on a Walmart vest and greet people or something. Best you can do. And you got people with educations doing jobs like that. It's so outrageous. You know, it doesn't weigh out. And that's what the kids are seeing these days. You know, we want to push education. Yet, if you go and get educated, you're in such debt that it doesn't seem to balance out. The job you're going to get, you're going to end up at working at Walmart. You might become a manager with your, you know, bachelor's degree, or maybe even more than that. I've heard of people with master's degree having to work in jobs like that in this economy. And it's going to get worse. And when that gas shoots up, that's it. That's it. Because everything's going to stop here. Only the people that can really afford it are going to be able to drive. I'm going to have a car. It's going to sit there. It's a van. It's a gas guzzler. I'm not going to be driving around that thing a whole lot. I don't do it now. Never mind $2 from now. It's barely worth it. But it is, I mean, it's worth it to have a vehicle, of course. Anybody who's had to take the bus or taxi can tell you that. The expense of that is probably, you know, maybe not the bus, but definitely a taxi is a big expense. And when you get to go to the grocery store, you know, taking a bus isn't an option with all those bags, unless you're going to do it in increments. You know, anyway, it's going to get rough out there. I don't think there's any avoiding it, no matter how much cutting they do, no matter, you know, and you've got this thing in Wisconsin's bugging the hell out of me. So from what I hear, Obama's encouraging these useful idiots to protest. We don't have any money, you useful idiots. We don't have any money. What part of that don't you understand? And it's going to get worse. So you keep jumping up and down about a few benefits. You're still getting paid 3 times the money of the private sector to hear Fox tell it, Fox News. That's out of their mouths, not mine. Private sector teachers make 3 times less than union teachers. And you know what? The thing about being a union teacher, generally, you don't run out of work unless you take the day off. You always have a job there. It's not like construction is kind of an ebb and flow. You know, you're always going to send your kids to school. There's always a need for a teacher, a fireman, this and that. So they've got it right there. Those jobs are like permanent and secure, and they're holding us hostage. So if you're, you know, you're effing your buddies who are out of a job. Because of people like you that are so greedy, there's all these people out of work now. And you'll point and laugh at them and say, hey, I'm not going to do nothing for that bum. You know, last week that bum had a good job. Now he's out on a street corner with his whole family. I see it all of the time here in California. I see whole families out there. A whole family. What guy would do that? It's not. It can't be a scam. You know? It's a shame. It's a shame to see what's happening. And I really, just like every other show, I hope, you know, we're sitting here waiting for some kind of superhero. That superhero is you, baby. You can't wait on a radio host or someone to guide you, and Alex Jones or a Michael Savage or any of them. You know, I like some of them. I like their information, but in the long run, it's going to come down to each individual making whatever sacrifices you got to make. And it's going to come down to that. It's going to get tight. I'd say the best way to fight the New World Order right now is don't drive unless you have to. Don't pay into it. Say the hell with it. Boycott it. Ride a bike. You know, ride a moped. Do something else. If you can live closer to work, do that. Boycott the whole thing. You know, it's ridiculous. There's so much fuel in the ground. They're raping us as it is, and then, now they're going to do more of it. This Muslim Brotherhood. It's great, whatever they want over there. They're going to get more of the same, more radical dictators that shoot people. These idiots over there don't know what they're fighting for. They're just up and, oh, let's kick that guy out. He's American. And they're pro their own country. You know, they're behind their own country. They're patriotic for their own countries and want to kick out the people we helped put in, some of them. They want to kick these people out. Anyway, what's going to come in that vacuum we may not like? I'd say Iran just got a whole lot bigger. That's my opinion. I just think they're all seeing that, hey, if we ally up and cause, you know, these uproars and uprising and get our people in, then we can all meet in the middle, along with countries like Venezuela, Cuba, and anybody else we're crapping all over. They've got themselves an axis of evil there, don't they? You've got North Korea, you've got China, you've got Russia. A lot of those, you know, you may say Russia's buddies with us, and in some ways they are. But, you know, sure, the wall came down, the country collapsed, but they never said they were making nice with us. I miss that part. I miss the part about how they're our ally. I don't think they've ever been our ally. They've come in here wanting to put their communist agenda across, and that's exactly what happened. If you want a job, they'll give you a freaking job, and you'll be good at it too, because you won't have a job you're not good at. They'll be real efficient about it. So if you have the mind of an engineer, but you want to paint for a living, too freaking bad. Get in there and develop bombs and technology, because that's what they want you to do, and that's what you're going to be good at. That's what these communists, these logical thinkers do. Just because you're good at it. I know lots of people who would be great at sports, or, you know, 6'5", 260, don't want nothing to do with sports. They could dominate. They don't want anything to do with it. They don't like sports. Okay? And since they live in America, they can do what they want. We still can do what we want. We have a president who's backing of course he's going to back them. I don't find that too outrageous. But Obama, I hope you're listening, when the other side decides to protest, I hope that's okay too. I hope we don't get the blue hats coming down on us. And I hope that our side, the people looking for the truth, the people who are good on the inside, and if you're listening, chances are that is you. We don't have to agree on everything. We don't. But if you agree in having a free will, if you don't think you should have somebody be in your personal space, if you think you should be able to be an entrepreneur and do your own thing, then you're a freedomizer. If you feel like you don't need anybody to babysit you, you're a freedomizer. If you don't think it's your business what your neighbor's doing, unless you see their kid with a black eye and a bloody face, or you see people, you know, I mean, let's be reasonable. Let's be reasonable. You can see abuse a mile away. If you got to look for it, probably isn't there 9 times out of 10. If you got to go digging that far, it's not there. Leave it alone. Mind your own business. You know, we get this this whole environment. It's just so similar to fascism and communism and Big Brother. I feel it all around me. And there's so many people who are on board with it. And the other side, all they want to talk about is arming up. Who the hell are you going to take over? I want to see one militia take over anything. And then I'll consider backing that line of thought. Take over anything. Take over an Army National Guard base. You could probably do that with those knuckleheads. But how far are you going to get? What are you going to do? I mean, when they come to your door, by all means, defend yourself. Until then, use your freaking head. You know, in this V thing, you know, Alex Jones, man, I want to talk good about you. I do. You know, because when I went searching for the truth, who did I find but you? Maybe they knew I'd be looking. I don't know. I've seen some pretty good information on Jones. Something like, that the V contest. I was even our participant after initially saying, you know what, that V reminds me of the V guy spraying it on the wall and then shooting himself. That's what that reminds me of. And, you know, I thought, this isn't a good idea. Why is everybody doing this? So I go on the site, and there it is there on Alex Jones' site, Infowars.com. Oh, we already thought that people would mention the V guy, and we went ahead with it anyway, because the V we're talking about is the V from the French Revolution, which is also an interesting choice. I wonder, Alex Jones, Infowars, did you do any research on the French freaking Revolution, you idiots? The French Revolution was started by the Rothschilds and Adam Weishaupt, the Illuminati. Great, fantastic research you did there. So you, instead of being the psycho V guy, let's put V's all over the place as symbols to the Illuminati to come get us. Basically, you're putting a scarlet letter on yourself. And I'm starting to see where people are going with this Alex Jones thing. So combat that, MF-er. I know you got your people that listen. I know people listen to our show. A lot, you know, I know they do. When I say Alex, Glenn Beck listens, I really feel that he has listened to my show. I know he has. I know it in my gourd. He didn't say I did it, but I talked to a guy on the phone. He didn't mention, he talked about Glenn Beck, and, you know, in retrospect, it sure sounded like him. And in a lot of the shows I do, I used to do them late night, midnight, so that would be about when he'd be waking up over on the East Coast to start his news day. And, you know, I just figure he listens before he goes to work back in the day when I did it that late. And it seemed like everything I would talk about would come up on his show. Not everything. I go pretty far. But quite a bit of it. And I found that, you know, so anyway, Glenn Beck, I like the guy. I can get behind Glenn Beck. I think he's a, you know, really loves the country. He said New World Order on mainstream and described what it meant. Good enough for me. Thanks for having some balls, Glenn Beck. Now, Alex Jones, okay, it wasn't the V guy thing. It was the French Revolution. Bingo! Illuminati started, provoked the French Revolution. So they have their own reasons behind these certain revolutions, like what's going on right now in the Middle East. Sure looks like New World Order work to me. You know, getting all their ducks in a row so they can... You got to understand the plan. They don't care about countries and governments. They want to rule the whole world. They want one government. And the only way to get that done is to collapse America, because where are the people with the freaking guns? In other countries, if you got a firearm, you're probably an outlaw. In this country, you know, quite a few outlaws have guns, but the regular people have guns too. And that's what separates us, and that's why we're going to be a hard nut to crack. The only way they can get at you is starving you out. They don't want to be blatant about it, because then maybe you'll go to their house. Maybe you'll go knocking on the Rothschild's door, or Kissinger, or one of those clowns, Bill Gates, Mr. Vaccination. Anyway, I got to take a break here. We got to pay bills. The reality is, we'd like to do it completely for free. Proof negative. Minimum $750,000 a month. Got to pay for the radio. So that's why we run these commercials. That's an awful lot to come out of some schmuck's pocket. So we play these ads. We hope you support us. We hope you check out their products and buy them if you like them. You know, we can only lead you to the site, but I hope you'll at least check out the sites of the people we mention on the show. Anyways, 15 minutes left. I better get a couple of those ads out before the boss comes. By the way, I ain't done yet today. I'm on twice a day, Tuesday and Thursday, as most of you know. I'll be back on in about 4 hours, 15 minutes for my regular Rude Awakening. And I'll have plenty to talk about. If you'd like to chime in, if you want to be part of the show, call in. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Otherwise, the news you want to hear is pretty easy to find. I know what you want to hear. That's, you know, that's what I do. Anyway, couple of ads, maybe a song, then we'll finish it up and roll out the red carpet for Mr. Big Time Proof Negative. Here's a ad or two from all of our sponsors. Let me find them. Here we go. All right, be right back.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Hi, folks. CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource.
tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high quality, cost effective, and long term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to the cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepare with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're freedomizer.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
Hey, Freedomizers. Have you started your food storage yet? Are you dehydrating your own organic fruits and vegetables? Proof Negative here is going to tell you to check out dehydrate2store.com, where Tammy is going to show you how to dehydrate your own fruits and vegetables so that you can have the best food storage possible. Why waste money on inferior products when you could do it yourself? Easy. Check out dehydrate2store.com.
But Jeb, I'm glad to see you survived the fall civilization. You look a little hungry. Did you put any food in that bug out bag?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Well, you know, there's gophers in that field over there. You like gopher?
I like gopher.
You know there's 25 ways to cook a gopher.
Is there?
In fact, there is, but there's no way to cook a gopher that's better than a little Travenow 1 gopher dipping barbecue sauce. Solves a real man's appetite. You got barbecue sauce in that bag of yours?
Nope.
That's all right, I do. That's right, just go on over there, get us a gopher, and we'll have some of that fantastic, yummy, tasty, Travenow 1 gopher dipping barbecue sauce.
This is a completely fictional commercial and no way indicates that Travenow 1 does actually make a gopher dipping barbecue sauce. If Travenow 1 does ever decide to make a gopher dipping barbecue sauce, False Flag Radio fully expects the royalties from the brochure that you tune into the Commie and the Conspiracy Theorist exclusively on False Flag Radio.
Holy cow, if only I could talk that fast, I could force feed you a whole lot more information. Anyway, that link I put out in the chat room, Scrap Metal Bomb, that was a friend of Jaja's, except metal. Yeah, get your head-banging equipment and get ready for that one. I'll be calling that guy tonight. His name's Pan McCracken. Pan McCracken. And I'll be talking to him tonight about getting him on the show. So if you like heavy metal music and truth, you're going to get a double dose from these guys, Scrap Metal Bomb and Pan McCracken. Going to be talking to them later on. Like I said, they are allied up with Jaja, and they are awesome. Check out their page on MySpace, Scrap Metal Bomb, coming soon to the Rude Awakening. I guess I'm putting the cart before the horse. I'm in negotiations since, you know, there's nothing to negotiate with, I guess there won't be much of a negotiation. You either want to be here talking about the truth or you don't, and I think he does. That's just my assessment. You know, anyway, Friends of Jaja, hard rocking, bang your head, metal. I'm looking forward to it. I you know, because I'm a rocker. I like rock music. It gets me pumped up. I like all kinds of music, really. And like I said, we don't want to shut anyone out at Freedomizer. If you're, if you love your freedom and your free will, and you think everybody should have an opportunity to do what they want, not what they're good at, not what the government tells you you should be doing, but what you want to do, then you're a freedomizer. I don't care if you're a New Ager. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're a Catholic. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're whatever. I know a lot of the crowd, you may have your issues with all that. That's okay. I don't care. That's your deal. I'm here to get the truth out there and get as many people on board with it as I can. Them living those type of, you know, nobody's perfect. Them accepting, you know, accepting bad behavior, I never think is a good idea. But you show them the right way to live. You set a good example. Don't judge people. You set a good example. You know, that's the way you do it. That's the way you fight back. You don't like something, set a good example about it. Because you're not going to change anybody's mind out there. They're going to change their own mind. Give them a reason. Give them something to look at and to be inspired by. That's what I try to do every day. You know, because I came back a long way. I've been homeless. I've been on a park bench. I've been out there on drugs. I've been in jail. I'm somebody who came back from all that. Somebody who came out of it and lived. I am the luckiest frickin' guy you ever met in your life. By a long shot. There's nobody luckier than me. You're talking to a leprechaun in the flesh. No doubt about it. I am luckiest guy you've ever met in your life. By a long shot. I have bad luck all the time. But when it's time for good luck, when I really gotta have it, somehow, some way, it ends up okay for me. I don't know how. I think the one thing I've always had is faith in God. Never had faith in religion, but I do have faith in God. So do whatever. You can call that, uncool, you talked about God. Hey, I don't have a religion to beat you over the head with, but I love God. I will say that. And I think Jesus was God in the flesh. So do what you want with that information. Call me a freak, disagree with me, but know that I'm fighting for your truth. You know, I'm fighting for the truth, fighting for this country. I am proud to be a patriot. I hope 200 years from now, they talk about that alternative news station, Freedomizer, and what effect we had on you know, getting our country back and getting it from the grasp of the New World Order. And encourage the rest of the world, you know, to be their own sovereign nations. Don't follow along. You know, you don't have to live like everybody else just because we don't like it. If you want to behead people and stone people, good. Do it in your own country. If you don't like it, those people should be able to leave if you don't like it. You know, but that's why we go in these places. It's not always something corrupt. Of course, the oil is there. Oil's all over the place, from what I know. It's fossils, right? plenty of oil all over the place. Why are the reason they even got it there, we probably helped them develop all the technology to mine it. We want to take all their oil and everybody else's oil, and we'll pay whatever price for it. Meanwhile, we'll just hoard all the oil we have here in America, which is unlimited, in my mind. And that's the idea. It's just a profit thing. We're being bought and sold. worldwide. Worldwide, people need to wake up. In every country, it's about, are you good or are you not good? All right, what side are you on? Make your decision. And the best way to fight the good fight is to lead by example. Lead by example. Be cool, you know, to the kids. Be somebody they can look up to without being a freak, you know. I think it's important. I think the future is important. I think fighting for it's an important thing. And like I said, we all can disagree on a lot of things. I don't agree with a lot of people's way of life, but I have no grounds to judge them if they aren't hurting me or anybody else. You can't make anybody something. Like I say a lot of the time when I play this song, never chase a rainbow because you may trip over it and become gay. What are the odds of that? Not very good. The gays will be who they are. I know a lot of people hate them. Why am I defending them? I don't know. I don't know any. Well, my neighbor's a gay guy, but that's besides the point. I'm not really around them, so I can't say, but it's not for me to judge. And like I said, even tripping over a rainbow, why do I say that? You'll see in a minute. But even tripping over a rainbow, I'm going to get up and still be me. You know, that isn't a lifestyle I feel is wholesome, but I'm not going to judge them. And I think they deserve freedom and liberty just like anybody else, because they can't rub off on you. They can be a bad influence, but in the long run, you're going to be what you're going to be. And that's it, and that's all. I'm going to play Chasing Rainbows by Esther O'Connor. Remember what I said about it. Anyway, Proof Negative coming up here in a minute or two. That would be big time in my little intro. Prime time to big time, me stuck in the middle. A prime time, big time baloney sandwich that is Knuckle Bones Radio. All right. let me get that Esther O'Connor song out. On the way out, I'm out of here. See you in a few hours. Hopefully, I'll have good news for you. I'll go searching all over where I do. I guess they eliminated the song. I don't see it here. Oh, here it is. That's it, and that's all. See you later on.